people, it is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlatsis, live for another day of broadcast insolence, and we are live from the Blackhawks Convention, the 10th annual edition at the Hilton Chicago. Oh, that's it. That's what we want to hear.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what Kev's talking about. And this is all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. And let me just want to, for the people who are here, for the thousands, as far as I can tell, who are in front of us right now, let me just tell you what's coming up. Just in the next 5 minutes or so, our captain, yes, Jonathan Toews, will be here. Right after Jonathan Toews, our fearless leader and the king of our realm, Rocky Wirtz will be here.
Yes.
Anybody remember Brandon Saad? Anybody? Can I remember him?
Saw a lot of Saad and Sharp jerseys already today.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Cool to see those back.
And so Brandon Saad will be here at 4:10. Mr. Richard Roper is here with
Hello.
Us today, and he's
going to
be
hey,
doing some reviewing.
You know that Brandon Saad thing? I was thinking about that. It's like, you know, he was with the Blackhawks, right? Which is like you've got a Bentley, and you're in a Bentley, and then one day you come out and there's like a ripped up Prius. That's the Blue Jackets. And you're like, well, what happens? Like, well, you got to drive the Prius for a little while. Then you wake up another morning, you're like, you got the Bentley back.
It's not bad.
How happy was he when he got that call?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Can you imagine?
I can only imagine. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, for the people who are here, you want to come on back, we got Jay Blunk and Stan Bowman. With Stan, we can. One of the great general managers in the greatest general manager in the NHL, I think. And then one of the greats in all of professional sports in North America. And our own Kevin Powell is going to be doing Kevin at the convention a little bit later on.
Ooh.
This is all news to him. Along with Violetta Podermedic, our traffic reporter, who has already mounted the Zamboni.
Bro, not 5 minutes here, and she was already being yelled at.
She climbed
the Zamboni, which you're not supposed to be climbing. Yeah. She's taking selfies.
Apparently.
Next thing you know, security's over by us, telling her to get
Better
off.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
She's now
just
on all of the.
Out of here.
Yeah. She's not on the do not fly. They're just like, please don't fly for a while list after her big trip to the homeland.
Sort of avoid
please
us for a while.
Just fly for a while. That'll be fine.
So that is all coming your way. And then, obviously, Judy Pylak back at the WGN studios with the news of the day. And there's a lot going on today.
Yes,
obviously,
there
big
is.
Shakeup at the White House with Sean Spicer announcing his resignation right after they hired a guy to be his boss that has no communications experience. Very brilliant guy, been around. He's done a lot of TV work. This Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, as he's known, been doing a lot of TV work for the Trump administration. But this is. And I'm not trying to take a victory lap or anything right here, but I would like Stan Bowman to maybe, you know, think about drafting me for next
year.
I know based on my prognostication, I did happen to say by August 1st that
you did.
That I believe that Mr. Spicer would be taking his leave, and I only missed it by a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Right there, yeah.
I remember you calling it, but, wow, it's strange to see the changeover. And, you know, the Scaramucci, he talks like Trump. He's as huge and great, and they uses the same vocabulary, so maybe they'll be able to communicate.
He's in love with him. He loves him.
Says
he said
love.
That like 27 times.
Yes.
I love him. At one point he said, I love the team. I'm ready to make. I love everyone.
Because I like the team. No.
I love him.
I love the team.
He had
to correct himself on that.
Well,
so it's going to be interesting.
Guy.
Oh, we don't know if he's actually going to be on camera a whole lot, but they were on camera today. And you know, it was said, and you know, sometimes these things come out and people go, oh, come on, could that really be true? And then the president tweets and confirms it. But it was said that the president was starting to lose patience with Sean Spicer because Sean Spicer, one, was getting fat, which is kind of a crazy thing when you think about it. But it was a little unkempt and rumpled, I think was the term that they were using.
It happens when you're running in out of the hedges all the time. You're going to get some of that brush on you.
Well, I mean, it's a very stressful job. He's been there six months in one day.
Wow.
And, you know, there are very few people in the political scene in 2017 that I feel sorry for more than Sean Spicer. It was a really rough
He was well-respected. The press corps knew him already, and it seemed like it was just he was put in an impossible position so many times with saying one thing and then the next day a presidential tweet or something, sort of changing the way the narrative was.
Right.
And
now he can cash
position.
In, though. At least you can, like Old Spice.
Write a book.
You remember me, Old Spice. For Old Spice.
Yes.
Old Spice for Spice.
Yes.
Old Spice.
He's going to be, he's going to cash in a major way. And I would imagine he's going to be there for another month, they say. I doubt that's actually true. But they can't have Scaramucci take over for a month until he clears the ethics panel.
Oh, well.
Which is, I can say it's very hard for them to do over there.
Yeah.
So
I think OJ just got clearance, too, now that he's going to be a
I believe
man.
OJ will end up – I believe – I have another prediction. I believe that OJ will end up on a golf course with the president before it's all set.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine
the next
that?
4 years.
Do you predict that Spicer will be on Saturday Night Live at some point? Do you think he and Melissa McCarthy will make a joint appearance? Because I'd love to see that.
It's a great call. I think it's a great –
I think you got something there. With it.
Yeah.
His first interview is going to be tonight with Sean Hannity.
Yes.
That's you know, kind of friendly turf. So I kind of don't think that you're going to see him.
You think he'll disappear?
I don't think he's going to start to tell tales or pair away from the mission of the presidency.
I have a $1,000 bounty to the first reporter who yells out, "Scaramouche, Scaramouche, can you do the Fandango?" And I do believe that will happen. $1,000 to the first reporter to yell that out.
Love to see that.
There you go. And, by the way, I was just being told this, that Spicy is going to do the interview with Hannity tonight, and Scaramucci is going to be there, too.
Yes, he is.
Oh, here we go.
And apparently Spicy is going to break news, is the way they're promoting it, tonight. So maybe announcing something he's going to be involved with, and maybe, I don't know, about a future position, but who knows.
A new show on the Fox News channel.
potentially.
Right, or a radio show.
Well, I think they do have to keep him close, right? There's the people who were in some of the more dramatic moments of the last 6 months, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want them getting out, loose, too far away from the farm. And unlike Game of Thrones, which I'm going to reference a lot because I'm binging it right now, they can't just go cut his head off. They can't. It's not the way they do it anymore.
No. So, be inappropriate.
Yes, that's how it is. All right, coming up on the program, don't anybody move. We've got Jonathan Taves about to join us in just a few minutes. We're going to be, how about that? And we also have, as I said, an amazing day here at the Hawks Convention. It all starts right now, just opened 15 minutes ago at the Hilton Chicago, 720 South Michigan Avenue. Lines out the door. I mean, how many people are staying here at the Hilton? Tonight. Yeah, you see, there's the lines at reception right now. I always notice this.
They're
about
huge.
The 3 o'clock thing. You know, people are checking in,
uh-huh.
And it is like, and people, what I find interesting is people bring, and I had no idea that the Hawks sold this at one of their Blackhawks stores, Hawks pup tents, and they bring their pup tents into the hotel rooms with them.
Oh.
There's people, I don't understand what's going on there.
That's nice.
I guess it's a place to put the kids, right?
Yeah. Sort of put like tents in the room, little kids.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's kind of a good way to do it.
And also, I got to give my tip I give every year. If you're meeting a friend or a family member down here, just tell them, hey, look for me. I'll be wearing red. It'd be very easy for you to find each other in the crowd.
It's a sea of red.
Thank you.
Very good to see
you. I thought it landed, Richard. I thought
a lot of people wear red.
Right. It's part of the Blackhawks.
Very joke about that.
That's very, very
good. I'll be wearing a jersey.
That's strong.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeMontis right here live from the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention on 720 WGN.
So good to be here. Red Blackhawks fans here. And the interactive zone is where we are. We just get to interact with different games and play a little field hockey, do whatever you want to do. The Blackhawks, they do things right. We saw that with the NHL draft where we were just out there, and it was incredible.
They have an inflatable rink over there. I'm going to go school some 6- and 7-year-olds. Show them a thing or two about floor hockey.
Just don't come back crying.
Yeah, they got a you-must-be-this-tall thing. You might want to check it that first, my friend.
Be a lot of money to check that.
But, you know, when we were at the Fan Fest, the Draft Fan Fest a few weeks ago, Kevin did do that, and he got, like, right up in some 8-year-old's face. And it
That's
was,
right.
I got to just say, it didn't seem right to me that you did that.
Got to teach them early. Got to set the tone for these youngsters.
They're not going to jawn at each other. Come on, bro. Let's do it. Let's go, bro.
Smash.
That's Kev's voice, by the way.
Cross-checking the kids. Welcome to the NHL. I'm not in the NHL.
Yeah. I'm just an 8-year-old.
Suck it up, kid.
Yeah.
This is street hockey.
And by the way, you're not the NHL either, sir, mister. All right, Jonathan Taves about to join us on the stage right here. Rocky Wirtz is coming your way this hour as well. Brandon Saad will be here in the 4 o'clock hour right at 4:10 with us.
Cool.
And we've got Mr. Richard Roper joining us out here as he does every year because he likes to get in here early.
Yes.
Actually, Patrick, you have a great Patrick Kane story. From the 2015 Stanley Cup championship.
Which one?
About being on the ice. Richard snuck his way onto the ice right after.
I did not sneak my way onto the ice. I was invited onto the ice by my imaginary friend, Mr. Access.
Well, what a place to be. My gosh, the memories from that night.
Oh, it was actually Sharpie.
It
was Sharpie who brought me onto the ice, who's now back home with us.
Right, and I was, and Patrick Sharp was taking. All I knew was I was lucky enough to be in the building that night.
I was. Sure.
And I'm up in the 300 level, and you know, taking part in a fist fight that happens so often up there.
Uh-huh.
And because you can look at me, you can tell that's what I do. And
you usually duck, I thought.
And then all of a sudden, I look down, and I'm on the ice. And, you know, there was not a dry eye in that house because of the three championships, right, of the three Stanley Cups. The only one to happen here in Chicago was 2015.
Yep.
So the crowd was just a lot. And it was a very funny story about that night, too, about them trying to get the Stanley Cup into the building.
Uh-huh.
The Stanley Cup actually got lost in transit because there were thunderstorms coming in that night. And people who were at the game will remember the weather that night, or people who were watching it on satellite will remember that their satellite dish kept going out. There were bad thunderstorms, and they couldn't get the plane in with the Stanley Cup on it. And the Stanley Cup, as it turns out, flies commercial. That is true.
That seems wrong.
That's hockey, though. You know, they're not going to get they're going to get all fancy and do Lear jets and all that kind of thing.
It wouldn't give up its seat and was dragged off.
Yeah, well,
it was right.
The cup bumped Ann Coulter a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
Out of her seat. That was a tough moment.
Although the cup has seen a lot worse than a Chicago Aviation cup, I can tell you that right now. So everybody's waiting on the cup to arrive, and everybody's skating around, and then and nobody knew exactly what was going to happen, and then the cup like it was like 5 minutes late, but it seemed like an eternity, and so the cup arrives, and they drop it there. Everybody skates around with it. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Brandon Saad skating around with it, and then he was gone, and now he's back. So I mean, how exciting is that for all of us? And of course, Patrick Sharp. And then next thing I know, I'm looking down again, up there, everybody's crying and trying to sober up. And the next thing I know, I look down on the ice, and there is Patrick Sharp taking a selfie with Richard Roper. But Patrick Sharp's the one taking the selfie.
Yeah, he wanted to get a picture. Then he introduced me to his whole family. It was basically like if you ever saw the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer was a seat filler at the Tonys, and then he got bumped up, and then all of a sudden he was on stage and he got a Tony. I was Kramer. So, and then I didn't want to be rude. I was meeting Brittany. He's like, "This is my brother," and his brother's like,
"And he's talking movie reviews with you."
Yeah, he wanted to talk movies. Yeah, so we have some video of that.
What'd you think of Slapshot?
Yeah, basically that was it. So
they're sick and tired of hearing that themselves. So
yeah, sure they are.
All right, Mr. Taze, the captain, is running a few minutes behind, trying to get through the crowds.
I think that's probably what's happening. It's like just
trying to get commercial
beer
as well.
No. Yes, he does. Well, that's right. You know what? I don't think Kane and Taves do fly commercial. They do drive Chevys, but they don't drive. Yeah. They don't fly commercial.
Hey guys, can I break in here with a weather bulletin? Thanks. We do have a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for northern DeKalb, southwest McHenry, and southeast Boone County. That's until 3:45. Severe thunderstorms now around Marengo. And again, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 3:45 for DeKalb, McHenry, and Boone counties.
Thank you, Judy. We are expecting some like that beautiful night in June of 2015. We are expecting some heavy weather moving through Chicago throughout the afternoon here. All right, we're going to do a quick timeout right here. On the other side of news, we're being told Jonathan Taves will be here. Rocky Wirtz will be here as well. Maybe we can watch him sign a contract or something together. Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Cool.
Like signing of the contract. So all of that is coming your way.
It's the Rogan Show with Anna DeMontis right here on 720 WGN. I've got good news and bad news.
Okay.
I got the good news for the WGN listeners who are just joining us now is you've not missed Jonathan Taves. He is coming your way in about, we're now told at 4:10. Bad news is people have been lined up for an hour to see him already here, and so it's going to be a little bit longer. But I would say a not-so-ugly substitution at this very moment is the chairman of the board of the Chicago Blackhawks, Rocky Wirtz. Rocky, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, look at that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. All right. So we talked to you a couple weeks ago when we were at the NHL draft event.
What a party that was.
Yes.
So much fun.
I want to thank you. I want to thank the NHL. I want to thank the I want to thank the guys at the beer tent who were incredibly kind to us that day as well.
And the virtual Zamboni operators.
You didn't have a beer after you were off the air, were you?
No, not even while I was on the air, Rocky. Don't worry about it. That didn't happen. It was all fine. All right, let's talk about... but since then, because, that was a day... She said, well, you know, there might be a few things that happen here. You might be interested in a couple things that you might be seeing here.
I know you'd like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, what do you mean? Right? Because, I mean, one of the things, I mean, let's be honest about this, in the NHL, it's not like the NBA or the NFL where people, you know, watch a lot of these kids in college and they you know, the names are very, very familiar, right? You have to really be a hockey enthusiast to understand who the people are in the draft. Sort of like baseball, same sort of thing, right?
Sure.
So, they're naming guys who have a lot of consonants and very few vowels in their names, and I'm like, okay, all right, and then immediately, thank God, we've got such an amazing staff here at WGN. They go, you're going to love this guy. This is what he's great at, and all that. So it was all that, but then all of a sudden, this oh God, what is his name? Brandon something or another. all of a sudden, Brandon Saad and Patrick Kane back on the team, and there's been a lot of talk about reviving chemistry. And I know Jonathan Toews is going to be with us coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, so we'll be able to talk to him about what that means for him to have Sutter back.
Yeah, but he played out very well with him.
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about that from a corporate standpoint. I know you leave a lot of this up to Stan Bowman, who will be here as well. But how do you feel about this in terms of trying to recreate that momentum?
Well, what's exciting about it is both players know the system. They know us very well. Everyone, and I think they'll be great mentors, even though, Brandon Saad's only 23, he'll be great for the younger kids coming in. He looks like he's an old man. He might look a little older than 23, but
isn't that right? That's like prime time for hockey, right? 23 to 27. I mean, those guys are in the prime of their athleticism, and they know the game.
They do, and then Patrick Sharp is terrific. I mean, his heart's always been in Chicago. He loves the city. I think he was planning to be here after he retired. So it's something that I know GN always talked about bringing the band back, but it is much the same.
Yeah. By the way, I would like to suggest that as a marketing campaign for this upcoming season, because our genius Chris Duffy, who does all of our promotional stuff for us, did this. It's a great Blues Brothers kind of thing about, Sharp and Saad getting into the Bluesmobile and heading back to Chicago to put the band back together. It's a pretty great idea, and it's such a Chicago thing.
It is, and the Blackhawks actually have one of those Bluesmobile.
Ooh.
Oh, see, wouldn't that work out well? For something.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
so,
available for any parade you have.
Just slap a little Wurtz beverages sign on the back and we're good to go.
Yeah, it's all right.
and it's been a tough, I mean, let's face it. I just got that.
Thank you.
Let's face it. Last two seasons, great in the regular season, some disappointment in the postseason, to say the least, right? And changes had to be made. You said changes were going to be made.
Well, and the good thing is that both John McDonough and the whole organization, Stan Bowman, no one was satisfied. So you want to work for and have fans know that they have an organization that no one's satisfied on status quo, that you might have had a good season, but a lousy, playoffs, and we had two lousy playoffs, and we just had to do things differently, and that was the important thing. You just had to reshake the dice and start all over in different things, but you still have the same nucleus you have. You just have to work the supporting cast.
Ask you about this Nashville team for just a second, because I don't like them.
No.
I really don't like them very much at all. I love the city of Nashville, and I would love to be able to go down to the city of Nashville and, wear a,
If you could buy a ticket.
Right. Well, I'm right. You have to go stand outside.
I think you have to get 8 games just to get to the Blackhawks game now in Nashville, right? The package.
But do you think that they, coming up in this season, that is a focused on rivalry for the team?
Well, it is, and obviously always St. Louis, and every team has gotten is good. I mean, the one thing about the National Hockey League, parity is very, very close. So the difference between the first place team and the eighth place team is very, very close. And anyone you look, when LA was they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, they were eighth seed,
right.
And when the Hawks beat Philadelphia, they made the playoffs by the last game. And they made the finals, so anything can happen. But I think the good thing for the fans and everything else is every game is exciting. It doesn't matter if it's Nashville, St. Louis, Vancouver, or who it is. It's exciting. Where the days of old, you'd have a couple teams, and everyone else you said I might take a pass on that team.
Rocky, right. Speaking of raising the bar and never being satisfied, the NHL draft festival you guys threw, I think, did raise the bar in a big way, and a lot of other folks in the league commented on it, that drafts may never look the same after what the Blackhawks did, and what you're doing here with the convention every year, making it better and better. Talk about what fans can expect this weekend, what you've got in store.
Well, I think what you can see, that there's always something new, and I think they're going to see that that the fellas in the Hawks have again done things that aren't quite the same. I mean, the introduction is going to be fun and different things. But there's plenty of panels and plenty of other good questions we're going to have, and it's going to be exciting. And we have 10,000 fans over the next couple days, and a 90-degree day, just watching people walk up and down Michigan Avenue with the jersey on is really something.
The red sweaters are out, Rocky.
They totally are.
Rocky, as you're building the club, you look at the game, and speed, it seems to me, is more important than ever. I mean, it's still a physical game, and we saw that in the Nashville series. But is that something that you're looking to concentrate on and get faster? Because there seemed a few moments in the playoffs against Nashville where the Blackhawks were a step behind at times.
Well, I think you have both speed and you can't shortchange skill. And if you have speed and skill, you have it. So some of these younger players the Hawks have, you read in the newspapers about their size. Well, you don't have to be 6'4" to play this game. It certainly size helps, but if you have skill and you have speed, it overcomes it because it's so much a finesse game. And I think you're going to see some of the defense, play differently because we have, you'll have a different defense this year, and I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a great training camp. I can't wait for it to start.
Well, speaking of defense, some bittersweet news. Brian Campbell retiring. No longer get to watch him play, but some exciting news. He's joining the front office. How excited are you of Soupy remaining with the Blackhawks?
Well, it just shows something that how he's a classy man. He's a wonderful family. And, again, you have players that retire, but they want to be part of the organization. Many clubs, as soon as they retire, the first place they want to be is the last place they want to be is the front office. They want to get that guy out of town. So we're privileged to have him want to be part of the organization, and I think it's going to be great. And we'll get to see him all year round.
Because I do think that you look at great sports franchises, whether it's the, I hate to say it, please don't ever quote me on this, Patriots in the NFL.
Brady.
Again, why did you have to say that? Or the Yankees in baseball. I mean, I think the Blackhawks, especially in the 20th century, the second decade of the 20th century, have proven themselves to be, among the greats. And when you look at the history of this organization, you look at the accomplishments of the Hawks, in the NHL, and the growth of the NHL. I mean, just in the last decade, the growth of the NHL in terms of television viewers and in terms of fan engagement, social media, all those things that are metrics I think a lot of people in other sports thought, it's a great sport and everything, it's kind of fun, but people aren't really going to connect with it. Well, I think a lot of it falls really at this organization and at your doorstep, because you're the guy who said that, as soon as you took over the team, you said, we are going to go back on local television. We are going to go put our home games, I should say, on local television. We are going to go back and make sure that we are engaging fans at the street level.
Well,
you deserve a lot of credit.
Well, thank you. It's something that it's important to. People forget that when you reengage the fans, you reengage your customers, and it's something. And we're fortunate enough to have that 18 to 30, 35 year old customer that many sports teams would love to have, and we are able to have that. Plus, we're lucky enough to have 40% of our fan base are women.
I want to. That's the
thing.
Yeah.
Woo.
You look at how many women are here today.
Right. Maybe it's because Jonathan Toews is about to step up here, but it also
might have something
to do
with that. But Brandon Saad, who's he's like a rugged man, Brandon Saad.
And Patrick Sharp, which.
Yeah, doesn't hurt.
No woman ever said. Keep him in Columbus.
Yeah. Said no woman.
Keep
him
in Dallas.
Yeah,
anything else?
Dallas. No, there was right. Although I'll bet you the ladies down in Dallas with the big hair, like, is that a hockey player? that was probably pretty big. But it is interesting how women, and I'm fascinated by this, because obviously when you come to see the, I always preach this, you come to see the game at the stadium, you see something that is. It's unlike television. It's an experience. You can feel it. You can hear it in a different way than almost any other sport, right? Because you feel the ice, right? And the ice lights up. Yeah. And now you got new lights, right? You got new lights for this year? It's
yeah, and I think they actually work.
That's
going to work.
All right. And we also have, I think women get a sense of that hockey players are some of the most, they're the sexiest of all the major sport guys because they are in the best shape. It is true.
Well, they seem so down to earth too. I think that's the other element, don't you think?
Right, they're polite. They're polite, yes. And they can stand on one finger. They can do that thing where they like put the finger down on the ground and then they levitate over it.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen. I don't know
very
how they do that. The Rocky and I try that at home. That's what we do.
And they're really young.
I do that on my couch. I can do it.
All right. Rocky, thanks again for being here, and thanks for putting on a great party at the Black Hawks Convention.
Thank you, Rocky.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis right here, 720 WGN, broadcasting live at the 10th Annual Chicago Black Hawks Convention. Brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. Coming up, all right, we had a little bit of a scheduling issue getting our captain, Jonathan Taves. I'd say hours.
Yes.
Like I'm on the team.
He's busy.
Yeah.
It turns out he's very much in demand here at the fan convention.
So
who would have thought? For us?
He's waiting in line at the instant prize tower over there where you get a chance to get your automatic take-home souvenir.
He wants a bobblehead of himself.
That'd be great. People are like, you almost look like him.
Here's what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is really going to be very interesting. Because of the way the schedule worked out, mm-hmm. we're going to put Jonathan Taves and Brandon Saad next to each other.
Oh.
Ooh. Up the ante a little.
For the first time in 2017, and not the last. How about that?
Oh.
So we're
going to
have
that.
Jonathan Taves in the middle, Brandon Saad on the left. And we're just going to see how this works. And we're going to see how many people get scored on in the...
it's a little preview.
Yeah.
The upcoming
watch
season.
Your teeth and
yes,
come here.
Exactly.
I feel like Kev's going to get whistled for offsides a lot during
yeah,
this shift
yeah,
with
yeah,
these
I've been
two.
Known to that.
Yeah.
Rough housing.
I'm open.
Roughing.
Bro, I'm open.
I'm open.
It's not basketball. Move
can
around.
I just sit in between the...
No. No.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Glad we got that out of the way before they got here.
Yes. It, yeah,
would have been a little awkward.
Me. Yes, it would have been very, very awkward.
Convention scandal.
Yes, not particularly good. Also coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Mr. Roper is going to give us his review of Girls Night Out. Or what's it called?
Girls Trip.
Girls
with,
Trip.
Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith.
It is one of the worst looking...
Oh, here he goes.
...commercials I have seen for a movie.
Okay. Really? I think it's funny.
Of course you do. Ever. Ever.
Hmm. I like the bus ads, too. The girls are in between the legs. It's, I did yes. not
that
describe it
wrong.
Very well. Yeah. But
wait, who's between the legs? What happened?
I think you described it fairly well. Remember, there's kids here. You know, it's one thing you don't see them, they're staring right at you.
Those youngsters. So.
Sometimes mommy needs her own time. That's the plot of Girls Trip for the kids out there. We'll just say it like that.
All right.
God. It's a babysitter night.
Do you ever see a
bring mommy her medicine.
I have to say, though, I did see your review this morning on Fox. I won't give it away what actually happened there.
Uh-huh.
But what an interesting clip.
Wasn't that something? Yeah. I hope the kids weren't up too early this morning.
Yeah, if that's the clip that the that was provided,
fantastic.
Look out. That's all we need to know. All right. And then, coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, at 5, let me tell you about 5.
Okay.
And I know that people here are going to want to know this. Now, there's a ton of people here who are going to, at 5 o'clock, you're going to want to be upstairs in the Grand International Ballroom, as they call it.
Wow.
And that is where the big opening ceremony is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And for those on the radio, our very dear friend, Mr. Dave Ennett.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And that young upstart Steve Cochran from the morning show are going to be hosting that upstairs for us. So stay tuned for that as well.
Do you think the crowd might get a little loud when Brandon Saad and Patrick Sharp are introduced at the opening ceremony? Maybe a little bit.
I can only imagine what opening night is going to be like at the United Center.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite part about hockey, the energy when you're watching it. There's nothing like
that's
it. It's the best sport
live,
to watch.
Absolutely live. It absolutely is. Right?
Oh, there's no question about that. And that's the thing, and that's one of the things that, and this year, I mean, I know that, you know, Rocky doesn't want to talk about it too much, but because they're going to unveil all this stuff, but I'm just going to, you know.
You're going to
spoil it for them.
I'm going to spoil it for the entire organization.
Yeah, why not?
But there's a ton of improvements. You know, every year they've been making improvements inside the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of improvements inside the arena part.
It's going to be exciting to
that
watch.
Are going to be very interesting and very comfortable for the fans.
Mm.
That's all I can say about that. And that's going to look a little different. We
mentioned
the lights.
Give us a little more.
Well, the lights, he did talk about that with us.
Yeah.
The lights are going to change because now the NHL has new protocols, the NBA has new protocols for lights for HD television.
Ah.
So you have to have two different lighting schemes.
They're going to look even better.
Yes. The guys are going to look just incredibly beautiful as Patrick Sharp does anyway. He's got those dreamy
eyes.
He
doesn't need those.
Yes, he's got, right? Wait, unless, I don't think everybody does that. All right, Judy Pellex News, 2 minutes away.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, broadcasting live for the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago. Brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. Well, the wait is over, my friends.
Look at the phones out, Ro. Everyone's holding their phones up. Look
ladies,
at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage our captain, Jonathan Toews, and our newest Blackhawk, Brandon Saad.
Come on in, guys.
All right. Now, without any further ado, and there's a man who needs no introduction to Chicago Blackhawks, and neither of these guys do. I'm going to start with I'm actually going to break protocol here. I'm going to break away from the captain, and I'm going to go straight to Brandon. Just ask, how did it feel when you got the call that you were coming back to Chicago?
I was really excited. You know, I was shocked at first, but. It starts to sink in after a while, and then coming here and seeing the fans and get to put the jersey on here in a little bit. So I'm really excited to be back and couldn't be more thrilled, really.
And, John, what does it mean to you to have him back?
Well, our initial reactions, I think just to, you know, seeing our teammates, Artemi Panera and even Hammer the same day get traded was shock.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to act too happy because obviously you feel bad that two of your buddies are going. But the good news is we got this guy back in town, and we're pretty happy about having Sauter back in the fold. So we're looking forward to having him back in our locker room.
You know, a lot was speculated in the press. So we'll just clear this up right now about. What this means to you personally to have him back. I mean, assuming that that he joins you on the line, that you felt very comfortable with him. Obviously, you had great success with him when he was here before he went to Columbus. And everybody understood when he went to Columbus, it was almost, you know, that was in 2015. Everybody knew that was going to happen, right? He was going to leave because of the way the salary cap was structured and all of that. And now to have him back, does this mean something to you as a professional? From a player standpoint, what does it mean to you?
Absolutely. I think, you have chemistry with a guy of his caliber and his talent. You want those opportunities to play with good players. I think he's the type of guy that makes, you know, usually you talk about that with centermen as far as two-way players or guys that make his teammates or his line mates better. But Sauter does that as a winger. I think a lot of people compare him, a lot of things he does on the ice to a guy like Hose. He competes everywhere at both sides of the puck, and as a centerman, he makes your job easier everywhere. So obviously, if you have the puck more often than not, you're going to get scoring opportunities, and you're going to score more goals. So I'm looking forward to that chance, and we all know Q likes to change up the lines once in a while, so we know it probably won't always be permanent, but if we do get the chance, we'll be looking forward to it.
Were you lobbying, Jonathan, for management to bring him back?
No. I mean, it's... Again, that stuff doesn't come down to, you know, any of the players' decisions or, you know, as I said at the draft, I was asked that question, and I think at the end of the day, you focus on your job as a player, and you trust that management and our coaching staff are making the decisions, you know, the best interest of the team. But I think we can all agree that Sauter is going to bring a ton to our team that we've been missing the last few years.
You know, everybody keeps saying you're getting the band back together, getting everybody... You know, reacclimated. Does it feel like that? Does it feel like 2015 all over again or 2014?
Well, I think it feels great to be back amongst the fans here in Chicago. You know, it's been a long summer, I think, for all of us. But, you know, I think you learn a lot about the couple first-round exits that we've been through the last few years. And, you know, it's nice to get that experience back, guys that know how to win, guys like Sauter and Sharpie and... we got some youth coming in as well, so we're looking forward to seeing how those new pieces will fit too. So it's a fresh start, and we're going to look at it that way, and I think we're excited to get started.
And you don't like those long summers. You're one of the most competitive athletes Chicago's ever known. That had to have been driving you crazy to get to be eliminated so early. Looking forward, how do you put that behind you, and how much do you use that as a motivating factor coming into the next season?
There's no doubt you take advantage of the rest and just... you know, look at the years where we were playing till June. I mean, at least almost 3 years in a row there, where I think it's a grind. It takes a toll on your body. And I think in your mid 20s and late 20s, you want to use the summer to try and get stronger and faster, and then come back into the season not only physically ready to go, but also mentally just hungry, just like so many other teams in the league. And sometimes it's just hard to do that, especially teams come in, they're ready for you every single night. So we'll learn from what happened this year. Obviously, I think we had a great team. Things were going well, and it just seemed to everything that could go wrong went wrong at the right time, or I should say the wrong time for us. But we'll learn what we have to do differently next time to be peaking at the right moment. And you think that you've won it a couple times, that you know it all, you know what it takes, but obviously it gets tougher and tougher every year.
For you, Brandon, this is no knock on Columbus by any means, but was there maybe a little piece of you that was hoping you'd have a chance to come back and skate alongside a guy like Taves and come back to this Hawks organization? A little piece of you?
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually, where anytime you had success, and to play in a city like this with one of the elite centers in the NHL, it's incredible. So to get that opportunity as quickly as I did, to get to come back and make some more memories and hopefully win some more championships. That's what it's all about as a player. You know, we're all competitive guys. And, to be put back on a team that's been there, done it, and still has that hunger. You know, talking to a lot of these past guys I played with, they're all hungry to get back at it. So that's the key. You know, so it's definitely good back. It's good to be back in this situation.
Jonathan, we've talked about some of the returning veterans, but let's talk about some of the newer, younger talent on this team. And much has been, many have said, remarked on your ability to nurture the younger players and really mentor them to excel on this team. What are you seeing right now? What can the Hawks fans expect with these newer players?
Well, much of the same. I think we saw a lot of other guys like Hartsey and Vinny and Estroza. I mean, guys that were stepping up and getting more playing time. I think when your lineup turns over as much as it has these last few off seasons, that it's easy to be pessimistic about it. But you know that there's always a lot of young talent just waiting for that chance and eager to prove what they can do. And like Sada was saying, coming in with that hunger and that drive to really prove themselves at this level, and that only makes your team better. So we know we have that leadership group, guys that have been around for a while and have some winning experience, and I think it's a pretty good mix. I like the way our team's looking.
Can we just hold on 1 second here, because Judy Pylak is back in the WGN newsroom with some breaking weather news. Judy.
Yeah, Ro, as we've been telling you, we've got some severe weather moving through the area, and right now we have a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Cook, DuPage, and Kane County. That'll be in effect until 5:15 this evening. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning, Cook, DuPage, and Kane counties.
All right, thank you very much.
See that? They brought the lightning and the thunder with them, the guys here. You see what happened there?
I see what you did there. That was really good, Rich.
Brandon,
let's just talk a little bit about this. I hate to put any pressure on you, but Rocky Wirtz is just here a few minutes ago, and we were talking about your return and you and Patrick's return to the team. And he said it's good to have some of these wily veterans back. And then he had to stop himself and go, but Brandon Saad's 23, so we're just going to give him that, you know.
The man child? He's not 23.
But do you feel...
like 32 at least.
You got ID?
Yeah, let's check the ID.
Wily veteran, 23.
Right, do not serve him a beer. Although I do kind of remember when you and Patrick Kane came to Chicago, we couldn't serve you a beer either. So
that's
very
true.
So easy there, pal. That's all I'm going
to
say.
People who were willing to. So
I always saw you having a glass of water at Gibson's with that steak.
At this point, you do have a lot of young kids on the team. You know, even though they may be within a year or two of you, but guys haven't played in the NHL that long. Mm-hmm. What kind of words of wisdom are you going to have for them, Brandon?
Well, for me, like you said, I'm still fairly young, but I've had a lot of experiences, and I've got a great chance to develop with guys like Johnny and other leaders in the locker room. So I know the young guys basically will come up, and they look up to those guys. But for me, it's more just fitting in with the group, being myself, bringing my personality, and leading by example. You know, for me, that's the biggest thing is being yourself, and you want to lead on and off the ice. And I know Johnny's a great leader with words as well as leading on and off the ice. So watching him and other guys in the room that do that, that's tremendous for young kids. So that jump started my career. It helped me grow as a person, as a player. Being away for a few years only make you realize it's not like that everywhere. It's definitely great to be back, so I know the young guys are going to fit in well here.
Well, I just want to say that I spent some time in Columbus, Ohio myself. It's a lovely town. It's a lovely town. It's very cool. It's a very cool town. But it is not Chicago.
Their fan convention's at a Dunkin' Donuts on the corner
All right? And they're not like Hawks fans because they don't exist anywhere else.
No, I mean, if you were playing for Ohio State in football, it would have been a little different situation. But John, I want to ask you this before we let you guys go and get upstairs to get ready. Put your jersey back on, Brandon. I can't wait to see that. Imagine the crowd response that he's going to get, that he and Patrick Kane are going to, or Patrick Sharp are going to get when they walk up there tonight. All right. So you, as captain of this team, I mean, you took over the captainhood of this team as a very young man, right? And you've done an amazing job. 3 Stanley Cup championships. You've had some challenges along the way too to try to put the team together. This year, as you sit down, whether it's in training camp or right before the beginning of the preseason or the regular season, you sit down and you lead, what do you want to say to these guys about the importance of staying in this campaign for 2017-18?
Well, it's all about opportunities. I'll never forget. It's funny I bring up Mark Bergevin, who's now the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, but I remember the first time we went to the conference final. Ended up kind of getting spanked by the Detroit Red Wings, who were, again, like an older, more veteran, more experienced team that were just ready to be there. But he said, just don't take it for granted. Don't just think you're gonna be here next year, because, you know, the years fly by and it might be the last chance you get to get that far. So that'd be it. You know, it's just enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. But take advantage of every chance you get. And I think that's, you know, I think we all go into the season with that mentality, knowing that obviously we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, but we enjoy that pressure as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I share the sentiment of this crowd when I say, great luck this season. Bring home another Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Would you?
And how great to see these two guys together up here. It's amazing.
By the way, we are live at the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. And it's at the Hilton Chicago. If you want to come down for the weekend, I think there are still passes available for tomorrow and for Saturday. It is darn near sold out, though.
Yes. It usually is.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we talked to Jonathan Toews and we talked to Brandon Saad about just a few minutes ago about, you know, this is a year where I think Blackhawks fans, you know, are hungry. We've gotten a little spoiled since 2010 in terms of what we anticipate out of this team. And I got to say that this is one of those circumstances where there are no fewer fans here this year than there have been for any of these other conventions.
Isn't that true?
I was really interested to see what the crowd turnout would be, and it's basically the exact same as the past couple of years, which goes to show. Yeah. I mean, again, we talk about this every year. You know, 5-10 years ago, in the middle of summer, would you ever think 10,000 Chicago Blackhawk fans would all convene at the Hilton Chicago in the middle of summer?
No.
And here they are.
And the energy's upbeat. That was the other thing. I was wondering if there's going to be, three Stanley Cups, but, you know, people start grumbling. I'm all hearing from all you Cubs fans are all complaining about, you know, oh, Joe Madden, what's he done for us lately? But I don't get that sense. I get the sense that the fans are very excited about the upcoming season.
Yeah, they're disappointed. Someone here's obviously thrilling regular season, disappointing postseason.
Fans
expect high expectations, but why wouldn't you with this team?
Did you see also the Rokon rule of hockey nicknames immediately? He kept calling him Sodder.
Yeah.
You just put an ER at the end of it. That's their name.
Just easily slips out. I love it.
Nickname.
He goes Hartsey and Vinny.
Yeah, and Sodder.
And Sodder. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
They are very, but it is. But you know what is also the thing is you shake the hand of a hockey player.
It's a man's handshake.
I broke my fingers.
Yeah, it's a crush. They got big hand strength. Now is that the whole upper body thing? We just took a picture with Brandon Saad back there, and he's like a He's, again, they can they do that thing where they get up in the morning and they get out of bed and they then they stand on one finger. They sort of balance themselves and it's like every muscle you know moves in the right direction. It's just it's unbelievable. What great athletes they are.
Yes, they are.
All right, coming up, Richard Roper is out here with us.
What?
And we're gonna learn tonight as we get ready for the big opening ceremony of the Blackhawks convention coming your way at 5 o'clock, hosted by our own Steve Cochran and Dave Bennett.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I said Dave Bennett.
Go Cats!
Thank you.
Sorry.
Wow.
The
driving Zamboni through that opening.
That's my bad.
Drop and give me 20. Is going to be... that's coming your way at 5 o'clock. But Richard Roper's got a review of a movie that... well, I saw his review this morning on the Fox 32 Good Morning, Hello Chicago, That's Our Show show. What is it called?
Good day, Chicago.
Good day, thank you.
Still good day, Chicago.
Good day, Chicago.
I still have a job there. Okay.
Look on Richard's face. That was amazing.
Well, it is. It's like good. It's like good day.
Because that was Australian.
The problem is because Rupert Murdoch owns it. He had to name it in like an Australian thing. Is that what happened? Anyway, I saw what happened there, and I just want to say that. Stay tuned for
again. We want to keep some jobs over there, so
We just want to say that it's going to really be something fun, and we're really going to enjoy it. All right, but that's not coming your way. It's the Real Contra with Anna DeBlasio from the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland.
Slay all day.
Slay.
That's what we're doing.
Slay.
That is from the Girls Next Door. Wait, what's the name of the?
Oh my God, Girls Trip.
Girls Trip. Richard Roper is with us. He's doing Roper Reviews, brought to you by Arkadek.
Yes.
Arkadek, who, you know how much we love them.
Yes, we do.
We can actually watch movies from my deck. That is,
yeah.
That's true, right?
That's cool.
Richard's been there. Nobody else has been.
You've seen the movies on my deck?
I have, yeah.
Impressive.
No, you haven't.
The deck
you haven't seen
awesome.
The deck.
Oh, no, I haven't been there yet. Yeah. I know everyone's going to get invited at the same time.
All right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I hear it's spectacular.
I've heard the same. We're waiting for the invite. We've been fishing and fishing and fishing, but it'll come.
I think we should just go. Screw the invite.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Violetta would do. Just shows up.
Yeah.
And it's,
Hi, it's me.
Not even Dick. Yeah. And then that just opens the door.
Yeah.
And then you never know what's going on at Rose House on the deck because a lot of fun stuff happens
forget
there.
That. She could scale that security fence like a rhesus monkey. You have no... right over it, man.
Like a ninja.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Like a ninja in the night.
Yeah. All right. all right. So this Girls Trip movie looks god-awful.
Oh, you know, what can I tell you?
That clip sounded like a Real Housewives episode.
Here's the thing. You can never tell by the trailer if a movie's going to be good or not. Sometimes it looks over the top, and then you find out that the comedy itself has got a little bit of heart, a little bit of intelligence, and is actually pretty darn good. And that's what happens with Girls Trip.
No.
Now, unexpected.
A month ago, we had Rough Night. Now, in Rough Night, Scarlett Johansson and her friends went to Las Vegas for a crazy weekend of team-building exercises and seeing each other for the first time in years, and then crazy things happen, and lives are forever changed, and it was horrible. Now, with Girls Trip, it's a completely different movie because they go to New Orleans instead of Las Vegas. But it's the exact same plot. It's four women who were friends back in college. You don't get a chance to see each other anymore because life has, you know, gotten in the way. Now they're all down there bonding.
Hold on.
Yes.
Before you tell us what else is bonding, we've got Judy Pilak in the WGN newsroom. More severe weather moving through.
Right. Well, this is part of the storm system that we've had moving through. Now we've got a severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Cook and DuPage counties. Kane has been dropped from this, but it is extended. It's now until 5:30 this evening. A severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Cook and DuPage counties.
All right. Thank you. So there's bonding.
Yes, and Queen Latifah, and Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith, a lot of familiar faces and names who are really good together. And it's also kind of refreshing. We've seen a lot of these in the last few years. We've talked about this, how we've had these chick-centric movies ever since Bridesmaids,
even
right?
Even more than that, the girls behaving badly
the girls,
since Bridesmaids.
Bad Moms and Bridesmaids and Rough Night. But this is the first one where we have four female African-American leads, which is almost unheard of in a mainstream movie in Hollywood, which is nice to see. The director is Malcolm D. Lee. He is Spike's cousin. Probably best known for the Barbershop. He's in a couple of the Barbershop movies. Best Man Holiday. He does films about the African-American experience that aren't about rappers or gangsters or thugs. He talks, right. You know, more about issues. And, yeah, some of the jokes are so crude that all I can tell you is you never look at a grapefruit the same way again. And Brian knows exactly right there what that is, because there's a certain anti-somebody viral video where she demonstrates. So they do a takeoff on that. And there's, there's scatological humor and there's sexual humor and there's male nudity. And that's the other thing with these movies now. You see, rated R for four. It says full frontal nudity. Well, it's the wrong kind.
Times are changing. What year is it?
Yeah. So it's hit or miss. But honestly, and then it's got some nice little heart and some actually touching moments. The difference between this and Rough Night is in Rough Night they were one dimensional. Here they're not, maybe three dimensional all the way through. But you believe that they would exist somewhere in the real world. Uh-huh. And in Rough Night, if you were in a bar and those four women were next to you, you'd leave the bar. In Girls Trip, you'd want to hang out with them and dance with them because they're a lot of fun, and it's got a better spirit to it. Oh.
So I'm giving it
3 stars. You know, what? You got to know going in what you're getting, but for its genre, it's certainly better than some of the other movies that we've seen.
Told you, Ro, that was unexpected.
And what?
There you go.
That's from Girls Trip.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, if you take a look at the old, the famous Rotten Tomatoes aggregate website, uh-huh. it's 90% positive reviews for Girls Trip. It's getting nice reviews across the
board.
Slaying.
We don't need that. We have you.
That's true. Thank you. Would you like something to eat, or can I get you a souvenir?
No,
good
okay.
job.
Get you a souvenir. Would you like a balloon, little girl? Can you get you something?
Stuff here at the convention.
Yeah.
So, Girls Trip. I am warning you, though. Do not, if you think this is one of those, I'll take my daughter who's 10 and we'll bond. No.
No.
It's
R for a reason.
Yes. Yes.
And apparently,
what they do with the grapefruit is.
No. We don't need to hear that.
It just seems like it would hurt.
There's a demonstration in the movie where there's a banana and a grapefruit.
Funny. They had a banana for lunch.
Well, not like they did in this movie.
A lot
movie.
Of potassium.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Okay. Oh,
all right.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Also, another movie we can talk
if
about?
You're going to go zip lining, the zip lining where they
yes,
do that like, across the street?
That.
They even have an ordinance that you go across Bourbon Street. If you're going to go zip lining, go to the bathroom first.
Oh, no.
That's what the ladies found out, because one of them got caught on the zip lining, and then it started raining in New Orleans.
Oh, no.
So there's a little bit of scat in this.
Yes.
For scatological. I'm no prude. I'm okay with that. But okay. I really enjoy the grapefruit, and I don't want to.
You don't want that to ruin it for
you? As a guy, am I never going to like the grapefruit again?
No, it could be, it could sting.
All right. What we're going to do? We're going to take a short time out right now.
Oh,
I'm suspending myself right now for 3 minutes.
Girls Trip, 3 stars.
Ooh, okay.
Let's go find some grapefruits.
You'll never look at a grapefruit the same way again. Richard Rupper, WGN. You can see the quote now on the ads.
On the bottom of the posters.
all right. I'm surprised, but what? But I haven't seen the movie. I've only seen the trailer, right? So and it turns out that the trailer is not the movie.
There are things in the trailer that aren't even in the movie.
But you often see a good trailer for a bad movie good trailer for a good movie, but you rarely see a bad trailer for a good movie.
That's very true.
Right. So you have
say
a bad,
that 3 times fast.
Bad trailer for a good movie. Whatever he just said. All right, we're going to get right back to Richard Rover. What else are we reviewing here?
We're going to talk about Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, a big sci-fi epic.
Ooh.
And Bruce Willis.
Ooh.
Once again playing a cop for the 57th time in
his
career.
Oh, my word. Don't you have to retire at a certain age when you're a cop?
Never.
I love Bruce.
Does he purse his lips in this movie? Is there one moment where he purses his lips and then looks intensely at
you? Has a sweaty brow.
And he gets off some dry, sarcastic one-liners.
No.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah, and he shaves his head.
Oh. All right. I have to guess by the clips here. Although I was wrong, Richard Rupper is reviewing, brought to you by ArcaDeck of Chicagoland.com. Hey, let me, we were talking to Richard Rupper reviewing the films for the weekend as we are here live from the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago. The opening ceremony coming your way in about 7 minutes. We'll take you directly there from here without commercial interruption, as people like to say. By the way, we're here. Brought to you and us by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. All right, I was wrong. I was dead wrong about Girls Trip.
which you gave 3 stars to.
You were tripping.
I'm tripping, boo.
Oh, that was. I learned a bunch of terms, too, at that movie. I was writing them all down at that girl's trip.
Like what? Can you teach us any?
Are those going to come in handy?
I don't want to use them in the wrong context. In fact, there's a moment in the movie where they take aside a white woman and they go, you got to stop using those terms. You're using them all wrong.
So this, but now we just played. Now this is that interstellar kind
this
of thing.
This is Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, the latest sci-fi epic. Now, this is from Luc Besson, who did, like, The Fifth Element, which was a famous sci-fi movie in the 90s, and he's a cult figure. And this is based on a graphic novel, and it's all about this futuristic world where they're trying to save the planet. And it is the worst piece of garbage you can ever possibly imagine sitting through. Dale DeHaan and Cara Delevingne are the lead actors in this movie. Now, you might not know their names. He's been in some stuff. She's been in a few movies. She's that model that's got all those eyebrows. She's all eyebrows.
Yeah.
You see her all the time, Tag Heuer and all these ads and everything. Her acting on the Tag Heuer billboard is better than her acting in this movie.
She is less stiff.
She's so bad that I'm like, how they need to stop. Who's casting her in these movies? There's times where she has to say, like, you know, she cuts the call out his name a lot. Valerian. And when she yells his name, it's impossible to tell if she's heartbroken, angry, in love, or laughing. Valerian, 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 Valerian.
Is there any moment where on screen you see her go, line?
They should have said that. I was astonished at how bad the acting is. And, you know, the special effects are okay, but it's just the Star Wars ripoff.
You know, can I ask you something about the script? Because the guy said joystick. If you're in the middle of space, do you call your steering wheel on your spacecraft a joystick?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, you know, it's the kind of Han Solo thing, so he's got the claptrap. You know, space vehicle. That's better. Of course, he's loyal to. I mean, it really is. It's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's Star Wars. They have all the crazy little creatures, but it's got such a nothing plot. And you sit through it, and you're just astonished that they even made this movie. I know there's some people looking forward to it, but trust me, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, as I was watching it, I was thinking, Richard and 1,000 other things I'd rather be doing than watching Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Not with the money.
One of the bombs, one of the big bombs of the year. I think it's going to be a big box office bomb as well.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder, it's like she makes the Cara Delevingne, you know, she's known like on the Instagrams and stuff like that for having an amazing number of followers. You wonder if Hollywood is starting to cast people based on them.
That's definitely a factor. Look, we've had models turned actresses for long as Hollywood has been around. A lot of actually big name actresses started as modeling. Charlize Theron, you know, tons of them.
Yeah.
But they learned how to act somewhere along the way, or they had to get out of the business. You know, Cindy Crawford, who I love, was in one movie, and she said, I'll never do another movie again because I'm a bad actress.
She recognized it.
And she realized she was in a movie called Fair Game with Billy Baldwin.
Oh, I remember that.
The fourth most talented of the Baldwin brothers.
That was not good.
Because, you know, the Baldwin brothers look like a growth chart of man throughout history, like Neanderthal, primate. You end with, like, that the oldest one, you know, Jim or whatever.
Who's the most evolved? I guess that's
Daniel,
the hard part to think about.
You just got to stay away from this movie. This is one of those that, it looks as bad in the trailer as it is on the big screen. That's an expensive movie, too. They probably spent $150 million on this thing.
But if you don't care about the dialogue internationally, it'll play okay, right?
Because
you've got eyebrows that look like the rest of the world.
I guess so. You know, it probably will eventually. I mean, the market is so huge now in Asia and overseas, and a lot of times the movie will bomb here, and you'll find out that it actually made money eventually.
Not according to the accountants. How many stars?
One.
Oh, boy.
I think I was in a generous mood when I gave it that.
Okay.
I might want to take that star back at the end of the year.
Give him another half.
Zero it out.
All right, and then what?
Very quickly. It's really called First Kill, and that's one of those you could just call up on your TV, you know, your demand. Your streaming interwebs and all that is also in the theaters. So First Kill, Bruce Willis plays a small-town cop, and there's all kinds of intrigue that happens, and a bank robbery goes wrong. And for what it is, I like it. I'm giving this one 3 stars. You know, it's violent. There's a couple of twists. Bruce Willis could do this role in his sleep. But I give him credit. When he does these kind of straight-to-DVD type things, he still makes it fun. You know, he's not just sleepwalking through it. He's kind of in that Nicolas Cage, Keanu Reeves mode now, where one of them has to be in a straight-to-DVD or straight-to-video movie every week. So
I got to say, I mean, I know that Nicolas Cage endures a lot of criticism. I love Nicolas Cage in everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
And I love Bruce Willis in everything he's ever done.
It's an easy watch. You don't have to think about it.
It is an easy watch. Yeah. It's absolutely right. It's kind of the equivalent of comfort food. You're like, okay, we got a Keanu or we got a Nick Cage, or in this case, you know, you see a Bruce Willis and you're like, we're good. We can't go wrong here. So 3 stars for first kill. But as we mentioned earlier this week, by far the best movie coming out this weekend is Dunkirk, the World War II.
Oh, yeah. Got to see that. Got to see that.
4 stars for that.
4 stars.
And it's a short war epic. It's only an hour and 47 minutes.
That's correct.
So yeah. I know that sells to a lot of people.
And make sure you're in your seat when that starts. You do not want to miss the opening sequence of this movie.
Good to know.
It's really intense. It's one of those long, unbroken 8-minute scenes where you're like, okay, that 8 minutes alone is 4 stars.
Cheap. Best All picture right. candidate.
All right. You are listening to WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. Amazon Echo users, please say, play WGN Radio. And now we are live at the Chicago Blackhawks Convention. We are down in Salon A, as in Alpha. But up in the International Ballroom are Steve Cochran and Dave Ennett going to take you through the opening ceremonies for the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention. Gentlemen?
Thanks, buddy. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Great, Steve. We've got the standing room here in the International Ballroom. I'm glad we were able to find some real estate as we get ready here to describe the opening ceremonies.
A lot of black, a lot of red. Give me a little more boost in those headphones, will you? We will get this cranked up here in just a few moments. We will do our best to describe the action on the videos as time goes on, because it is largely, Dave, as you know, a video presentation. But I thought our award-winning presentation a couple of years ago, where we described the action. Remember, we got a Peabody and a Pulitzer?
Yeah. I don't know. I never got the word on that.
We got a lot of awards that started with P. And we'll spell it out for you, for those of you stuck in traffic on a Friday afternoon, for your beloved Blackhawks. But as we talked about this morning, almost 12 hours ago now, it's 90 degrees. It's a summer Friday night in Chicago. And we have thousands and thousands of Blackhawk fans indoors talking hockey. Pretty cool.
And everybody's wearing their Blackhawk sweaters. I see a Kane 88. I see a Keith number 2. Another Kane, a Seabrook.
I've got my Blackhawk Speedo on.
Well, as usual.
Yes, that's a Coach Q. Have you ever seen the Coach Q sweater? I'm pointing it out center up here. It's literally a giant Q with a coach name on it, and they're selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, you see a little of everything in here, and I think Anna mentioned it earlier, a lot of sod and sharp jerseys that people have taken out of storage.
I almost didn't get in here because everybody was saying, Patrick Sharp! No, it's Steve. Steve.
But this is one of the great traditions of this event every year. You and I have been to this every summer, the 10th annual convention. The opening ceremonies are always a highlight, and we always kind of guess as far as who's going to get the biggest cheer, and I think we all agreed this morning that
Sharpie.
Certainly he's going to get a huge reception.
Now, Troy Murray, who did a couple hours with us this morning, says it's Kane and Taves.
Well, that was me.
I think he
agreed with you on Sharpie.
That's yeah. Right. Well, you know, it was early. I wasn't up yet.
But
the media coverage of this is phenomenal as well. We got a bank of not just local television. We got the NHL Network here. We've got Canadian TV here because all things hockey matter. Our friend Pat Boyle from CSN is in the front of the room, and he's doing a little TV now. So we got it covered. We got it covered coming and going.
Well, I just don't think there are too many events of this magnitude. There isn't another one, certainly in the National Hockey League, that packs this kind of a punch. This ballroom is awaiting now in anticipation. Eddie Olczyk will be the master of ceremonies, as per usual. We'll hear Jim Cornelissen sing the national anthem.
And there is if you've ever been to a major rock concert, raise your hand, that's all of you. There is an entranceway with a tunnel that'll blow red, black, and white smoke as the personnel, management, players all walk the ramp through the adoring crowd, low-fiving everyone on the way to their seats.
This was a twist that the Blackhawks added a few years ago to have the guys walk right through the crowd on a catwalk.
Right.
They used to just be introduced on stage, but now they really are amongst the fans here, and it's always a really cool moment. And it's got to be an overwhelming moment, Steve, for some of the young guys, like an Alex DeBrincat, who's going to be going through this for the first time. What's he going to think?
Well, Connor Murphy, right? We were talking to him this morning. Just gets here from Arizona. And Connor Murphy has never seen anything like this. I don't care how big a hockey fan you are in Arizona. You're not going to fill a ballroom in Phoenix with hockey fans in July.
No, no question about it. A lot of sessions planned over the weekends.
Yeah, what's yours tomorrow?
I have. It's called Behind the Bench, and it's at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with the coaching staff, with Coach Joel Quenneville, his assistant coaches, and it's a one-hour discussion, looking back on last season, looking ahead to next season, talk about the new guys, talk about what their plans are for this team, who might have impressed them among the young guys at prospect camp this week. So plenty to talk about with Coach Q and his staff tomorrow. There's some other good ones. I know that I think Pat Boyle's doing a session with Sod and Sharp. Welcome back. The old guys.
Right.
Now, if you could call Brandon Sod an old guy.
Yeah, but, 24.
Yeah.
But he does seem like he's played a little longer than that, doesn't he?
We were
talking about that before.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable that he's still, at this age, has accomplished so much at this level, and now he has a chance to rejoin his old team.
You know, when you're talking to the coaches tomorrow, a couple things I think you got to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
The timeout. Brian Campbell, the newly retired Blackhawks suit, Brian Campbell. Brian Campbell told me a long time ago, he said, the key for a veteran player is to look like you're paying attention. He said, because it's loud. Mm-hmm. It's a timeout. It's loud. But when you get in close, he said, you look up occasionally and you look like you're hanging on every word. But it's usually the assistant coach, right, who's got the dry erase board.
Yep.
And he's diagramming a play. Now, in basketball, what do we know? In basketball, we know they're telling you who's going to get the ball, who they want to take the shot. Doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
But what do they do in hockey? Is it the guy that's going to get the puck? Is it the guy you'd like to take the shot?
And you probably have a couple of options, right?
I mean, are there set plays? These are the things that the public demands.
Yeah, no, I think we'll talk to the coaches about that tomorrow. We mentioned Sharp and Sott and, of course, Connor Murphy, who came over in the Jalmerson deal from Arizona. Some other players that...
He's another guy, 24 years old.
Yep. Young guy with size and physicality.
Yeah.
And as Stan Bowman has said, good leadership qualities.
And a lot of people have, again, not just to bring back all the confusion, but they say I have a lot of size and physicality.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's a compliment.
No, it's meant only complimentary. Let's see. Who else do we have coming up tomorrow or today who we'll be seeing and hearing from over the weekend? A lot of these guys have been through this before, but there are some young players. Not as many totally new faces among the youngsters, because a lot of these guys played last year, Steve. Guys like Nick Schmaltz, Vinny Hinostroza.
Ryan
Hartman became a regular last year, so Blackhawks fans have become accustomed to these guys now, but they've also become accustomed, I think, to change, to seeing some new guys every year at the convention. Duncan Keith, by the way, who's usually here, not here this year.
This is usually an awkward week for him because it's a big weekend for his to hang with his kiddos.
Yep.
But amongst the vets, fans always want to know who are the old guys coming in. Mark Bell, Sheldon Brookbank, Adam Burrish, Kyle Calder, Brian Campbell is here, Daniel Carcillo, Eric Daze, Ben Eager, Colin Fraser, Greg Gilbert, Stu Grimson, Cliff Coral, Jamal Mayers, Grant Mulvey, that's Bill Leff's best friend, Eric Nestorenko, Bernie Nichols, Jack O'Callaghan. I mean, it's a list. It goes on and on. The old man John Scott's even here.
How about that?
And obviously the regular ambassadors, Tony Esposito, Dennis Savard, and Bobby Hall.
Was it just 2 years ago that John Scott was MVP of the All-Star game?
He was. Yeah, it absolutely was.
But he's back. And it's going to be a little weird for Brian Campbell, I would think, being introduced as a Blackhawks alumnus here today.
An executive.
Yeah, well, now an executive. That's right. Well, certainly in the front office.
And, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't say hi to Stan Mikita's family.
Yep.
Because if it's Blackhawks, you should be thinking about Stan and thinking about his family. Stan, of course, would love to be out here with everybody and his family as well. But he's always a Blackhawk, and we're always thinking about him.
Always a mainstay of the convention, too, up until the last few years. But Bobby Hull is here. Haven't seen Robert yet today. Dennis Savard. And, of course, Tony Esposito, saw him upstairs. Looks great, as always. The ambassadors.
And Savvy does the spinorama as he comes out on the catwalk. So, again, as you're stuck in traffic, imagine that move.
Yeah, that will be something to watch. All right, there go the lights. The crowd erupts in a cheer. And in just a moment, we will send it to the podium. The Blackhawks logo in lights above the video screen at the front of the ballroom. We'll be turning things over here momentarily to Eddie Olczyk. You're listening to live coverage of the 2017 Blackhawks Convention on the home of the Blackhawks, 720 WGN. This room is shaking, Steve.
Don't be afraid, Dave. I'm here for you. Nobody does video presentations like the Blackhawks, and giant video screens around the ballroom now lighting up with highlights and also a little rock and roll concert extravaganza. Players' faces popping up now. This is the type of thing, Dave, that you and I couldn't put together in school when we had our science fair, you know?
No. But you know what? Our kids probably figure it out these days. This is somewhat akin to what you see on the ice before the Blackhawks take the ice at the United Center, to the extent that they could do it in a hotel ballroom. Pretty remarkable. Blackhawks championship banners.
We'd like to hang another one, wouldn't we?
I think that would be a great idea. Some of the players' names being shown. Nice to see Sharp's name back up there among them. And I think we are ready to get underway. And here is Eddie Olczyk.
Eddie making his way to the mic.
Oh, wait. The Blackhawks management team, first of all, taking their seats on the stage. Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunk. They're all having a seat. And here is Eddie Olczyk.
Hello, Blackhawk fans. The 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention. 10 years ago, I did not need these. But I'm proud to be back. Thank you very much. We welcome the greatest hockey fans in the world. The 10th annual Blackhawks Convention. Before we begin, we'd like to welcome some very special guests to the stage for the singing of our national anthem. From Lisle, Illinois, United States Senior Airman Mitch Zerbicki. United States Army Veteran Sergeant Justin Dotson. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you're not standing, please do kindly remove all hats. And to honor and join organist Frank Pellico and soloist Jim Cornelison for the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, for what so proud twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Through the night. flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the
season form. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks, Frank. Big round of applause for Jimmy Cornelison. Before we begin introducing players, coaches, staff, and the great alumni of the Chicago Blackhawks, we'd like to take a moment to recognize two members of the Blackhawks family that we lost this past year. Bill White was a member of the Blackhawks from 1969 to 1976. The rugged defenseman scored 30 goals and had 149 assists while wearing a Blackhawks sweater. He was a six-time All-Star and helped the team to reach the playoffs in each of his 7 years with the Blackhawks. Kenny Warham, he spent 14 years in the National Hockey League. All right here for the Chicago Blackhawks. He was a member of the famed Scooter line with Stosh, the great Stan Mikita. And he won a Stanley Cup with the Blackhawks in 1961. Please pause for a few seconds for a moment of silence to recognize these two great Blackhawks. Thank you very much. As I mentioned earlier, Hawk fans, this is the 10th year that we've gotten together to celebrate the Chicago Blackhawks. The vision of President and CEO John McDonough, this is the 10th year it's been sold out. It's an amazing testament to the passion and dedication and to commitment of all of you here tonight and all of you watching on television. We've had some of the greatest players to ever wear the Blackhawks sweater on hand, as well as many of your favorite current players. So we hope you are ready to kick off this great weekend where fans, where you the fans, both young and old, players, the current ones and the old guys like me, and the entire management team of the Chicago Blackhawks. And we're here to celebrate the great game and the Chicago Blackhawks. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce this weekend's attendees. Let's meet the terrific front office management of your Chicago Blackhawks. To my right, your left, the outstanding assistant general manager, Normie McIver. The Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations, Al McIsaac. The outstanding General Manager and Senior Vice President of your Chicago Blackhawks, Stan Bowman.
That's a nice recognition after the moves he made.
Executive Vice President, Jay Blunk.
Still handsome, Jay Blunk.
The President and CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks, Mr. John McDonough.
They love John, but wait till you hear this roar for Rocky.
And the Chairman, Rocky Wirtz.
We say it a million times, but when you think about what he took over and what he turned it into, here goes the Rocky chant.
The chants of Rocky, Rocky.
At this time, we'd like to recognize the men and women in the Blackhawk front office, the entire staff who worked tirelessly all year long, not only for the convention, but everything that goes on for the Blackhawks 365 days a year. We'd like to recognize the entire staff of the Blackhawks. Thank you for your incredible work all year round. Thank you.
Very nice.
Okay, Hawk.
Eddie went to the glasses early, though, for reading.
He's been doing radio calls with the Blackhawks for the last 11 years. Please say hello to Johnny Weideman.
Always tough to be the first out of the tunnel. There he is, John Weideman from WGN.
He played on the famous Clydesdales line back in the early 80s, one of the best two-way centers ever to play for the Chicago Blackhawks, a member of the broadcast team the last 17 years, the great Troy Murray.
Spent some quality time with Troy this morning.
He was a little too good at a talk show. He made me nervous.
A 15-year career, and now does a terrific job on WGN TV.
With our friend Pat Boyle. The ex-players, of course, wearing their sweaters and their numbers.
Be here after every Blackhawks home game on WGN Radio. Please say hello to Judge Surratt.
Our very own pre and intermission and post-game host.
How many guys that know more about hockey than Judge Surratt? Fifth of the money he could have made elsewhere because he wanted to settle here.
A member of 2013 and 2015 Stanley Cup Championship, number 13, Carbaugh, Danny Curto.
Wasn't with the Hawks long, but fans loved him because he was tough.
There's a theme here, guys coming back to the Blackhawks. He was another one who did.
With the Blackhawks, number 55, always good to see McDonald.
Around a little bit on the ice.
Yeah,
two-time Stanley Cup winner, number 46, welcome back, friends, Colin Frazier.
Hey, this is all the way back in 2010 when Colin Frazier won a cup 7 years ago.
Wow. great.
Quickly do the math in your head. This gentleman played three seasons with the Blackhawks. He had 610 penalty minutes in three seasons. Number 23, Stu Grimson.
Stu Grimson.
He looks like such a nice guy, too.
Not on the ice.
This gentleman played in over 800 NHL games, and every single one of them was for your Chicago Blackhawks. Always great to see Cliffy. Number 20, Cliff Carl.
Cliff very active in the Blackhawks Alumni Association. They raise a lot of money.
And a 2013 Stanley Cup winner, number 22 Jammer, Jamal Mayers.
Jamal Mayers, another guy who's done very well in front of the camera on Comcast Sportsnet. That's a nice
job. A five-time All-Star, a four-time Stanley Cup winner. Please welcome number 14, Ab McDonald.
GM fan, and four of those five goals came in one period.
How about that? Mentioned to him, Bill Left was disappointed that he wasn't with Grant today at the convention.
Looks like the restraining order is holding Noah Grant.
There it is.
1961 Stanley Cup champion. Please welcome number 15, Eric Nestorenko.
Not a kid anymore, and he's getting around pretty well. Goes all the way back to 61.
Making his way, dancing a little bit. How about this?
How about that?
How
look
about
at that.
Walk.
He's a three-time All-Star who scored over 1,200 points in the NHL. Always great to see Bernie, number 92, Bernie Nichols.
Tells great stories, Steve, about that team in Lake Placid.
And some of them could be on the air.
Yes. A few.
This gentleman spent seven seasons with the Blackhawks and retired with over 2,000 penalty minutes. Number five, Rusty Bill Russell.
Probably should remind folks, Dave, if they just turned the radio on, we're in the ballroom at the Hilton Chicago. In a sea of red and black for the grand opening, for the opening ceremonies of the Blackhawks convention.
Some of you may know this next gentleman. He played a maid in a TV commercial right here at the Hilton for the fine folks at Freshway. Some of you know him as a left winger and a defenseman, but all of you know he was the 2016 NHL All-Star. Number 32, John Scott.
I think he's an All-Star MVP.
All-Star MVP, John Scott.
This gentleman played eight seasons with the Blackhawks and a four-time NHL All-Star. Whitey, number 12, Pat Stapleton.
That's a nice mix of some veteran players, guys from the 60s, 70s, and then guys of more recent vintage.
And the big three yet to come right now.
A three-time All-Pro, a three-time Vezina Trophy winner, and a six-time All-Star, a Hall of Famer, number 35, Tony Esposito.
ton of energy.
What a great storyteller. Jason from the Friday the 13th movies, favorite goalie of all time. Did you know that?
Yes.
This gentleman ranks third all time in Chicago Blackhawks history with 1,096 points. Hall of Famer number 18, Savoir Faire, Dennis Savard.
Is he going to go for the spinorama, Dave?
Yeah, let's see.
Taking
he's halfway down
the catwalk.
Yeah, he's going straight. One of the best guys in sports.
A 10-time first-team All-Pro and a 2-time Hart Memorial Trophy winner, number 9, the Golden Jet, Bobby Hull.
And we're blessed. It's nothing like sitting around watching a game with any of those three guys at the United Center.
Bobby doesn't hold back.
No, he doesn't.
And now let's meet the 2017-18 Chicago Blackhawks coaching staff. Please welcome goaltending coach Jimmy Wake. New assistant coach from Downers Grove, Illinois, Donnie Granato. Assistant coach Kevin Dineen.
Alt Samuelson and Kevin Dineen were teammates, and they were teammates with Joel Quenneville.
And the head coach of North Chicago Blackhawks, Coach Q.
Where's he rank in beloved Chicago coaches? I mean, he's not far behind Dick, is he?
Not at all. He's won 3 championships, second all-time winningest coach in the sport, third all-time in playoff games coached, I believe.
Time to meet the players for the 2017-18 Chicago Blackhawks. Center ice for number 15, Artem Anisimov.
Get into the regular roster now. It's going to get really loud. These are the kids, by the way. These are the kids who you may not see this season, but you'll see them soon.
A big Chicago welcome. Forward number 17, Lance Boma. Another welcome. Forward number 74, Laurent Dauphin.
He was acquired along with Murphy in the Jalmerson deal.
That's right. Yeah, well done.
Here's your buddy from the other morning.
Number 12, Alex DeBrincat.
Hey, we're both impressed with this kid. He's 19 years old, but you know, good talker. Seems like he got some cool in him.
Handled the questions about growing up a Red Wings fan very well.
Anton Forsberg.
Forsberg acquired from Columbus along with Brandon Saad, a backup goaltender.
Dave, we have a Forsberg and a Forsling.
Yes, we do. Gustav Forsling.
He figures to be in the mix this year.
I would agree with that.
Number 84, Alexander Fortin.
He was got really impressed last year in training camp, had to deal with some injuries this year. Slowed it down a bit.
One of the hometown boys, number 38, Ryan Hartman.
Fans love Ryan Hartman. And a year ago, outside of these people here, I don't know that you could have found him in a lineup. And I mean a criminal lineup. And he wasn't
number
in one day,
40,
just to be
John
clear.
John Hayden, another one of the young guys, made an impact last year. Here's another one, and another local guy.
Another hometown boy, number 48, Vinny Hinostroza. Number 13, Thomas Yurko.
next kid you may have heard of.
In case you couldn't hear, it's Patrick Kane.
He was on the show this morning, I mentioned. He is terrific with fans. He always has been from the moment he came up.
Big smile on his face. I think he genuinely enjoys it.
67 Tanner Carroll. Number 37, Graham.
Morning. Probably more fans here than they had at some of their games.
Exactly. Jordan Osterley.
How about this next guy, Steve? That he picked up.
Number 14, Richard Panning. And a Coach Q favorite.
And talk about just that. Right from Game one last year, had an outstanding year.
He plays 110%, right? All the cliches apply.
Yeah. The greasy goals.
Rosie, number 32, Michael Roosevelt. Another guy that Q loves to give minutes to because he works to earn them. This should be interesting. The return to Chicago for Brandon Saad. Let's listen. Welcome back to Chicago. Boosting it.
He's waving his arms, asking for more.
Somebody got a little confident when they went away to Columbus.
That's true. He was kind of subdued, right? Nick Schmaltz.
And here's the other one.
Oh, this guy?
Remember the NHL rule, not the face. Come on down. Took the Brian Campbell deal again, could have made more money elsewhere, but wants another cup and came back here to get it.
Introduce him alphabetically, but it just so happens
that the taser comes in at the end, right where he belongs. Named captain at, what was it, 22 years old?
I believe that's right. And he will say a few words.
How are you doing, guys? Well, I tell you what, it's been a while. This doesn't get old. How about that, guys? How about another round for Sauter and Sharpie? They're back in town. We got a bunch of new faces and probably a list too long to go through right now, but I'll tell you what, I think we're all on the same page as far as being excited to be back here in Chicago, being amongst you guys, the fans, and it's a new chapter, it's a new start, and we're looking forward to this season. It's going to be a big one, and we're going to need you guys every step of the way. So let's get started, eh, guys? Let's have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
And now here's a video to recap some of the highlights from the past season.
They're going to go to the video screen, and we're going to wrap up our coverage here in the ballroom. But as usual, some great moments, memorable moments.
Loudest ovation, Sharpie?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was.
And maybe Saad a close second.
Saad was probably close second, although he was revving up the crowd, waving his arms. But that's all fair. That's okay. Both those guys clearly enjoying the moment and really happy to be back.
So they're going to show a video recap of this past season. And my hope is that tape breaks when they get to Nashville because these guys are raring to go. And every minute of every game will be on 720 WGN, including two trips to Vegas.
Yeah, how about that? And an early visit, by the way, from the Columbus Blue Jackets for Brandon Saad to face his old team. He showed Ryan Hartman scoring his first goal last year, and some of the other guys, some of the big moments. 8 straight road victories last year. So,
we're going to send it back to Rowan Anna. Is that the plan?
We're going to take a break, and coming up still, Rowan Anna are going to visit with Stan Bowman and Jay Blunt as they continue downstairs. But, Steve, it's been fun. We'll do it again next year.
Yes, sir. Dave Ennett, the best in the business, and we'll see you back on the radio Monday morning. If you're here at the convention and listening now or you're coming in, don't forget Dave's 9 a.m. wake-up call for the coaches' seminar in the morning.
Behind the Bench right here tomorrow morning, 9 to 10. Don't forget The Beat will be here tomorrow as well from 4 to 7. That's going to do it here from the International Ballroom, along with Steve Cochran.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Dave Ennett. Back to Roe and Anna after this.
It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeLonzis right here live from the 10th Annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention, the Hilton Chicago, brought to you by Meijer, offering home delivery across Chicagoland. You just heard Mr. Cochran and Mr. Ennett from the WGN Morning Show taking you through the opening ceremonies as they drop the lights in the International Ballroom here at the Chicago Hilton. And wow, what
right.
a response, people. And you know, very, very, very predictable response to our returning champions, Brandon Saad. And it's the kind of thing that you know, Blackhawks fans, like Chicago sports fans, are ever optimistic. I'm even excited about the Bears going to camp next week for reasons I don't even understand.
Wow. Yeah, it extends
Is
to the
Coach
Bears.
Is Coach Fox optimistic?
I know. I feel pretty good about it, Cap.
It's
Hang in there, Coach. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Do you have a Trubisky jersey yet?
I am who?
It is Trubisky, because I love that. I've heard it at least three or four
Trubisky
different ways.
Like Trubinsky?
So, Trubinsky. It's Trubisky.
Trubisky. Mitchell.
All right. Mitchell.
Mitchell, not Mitch, right? Mitch was the college name.
I go Mitch.
I like Mitch because it rhymes.
Says it's fine either way.
So many great athletes through the years have been named Mitchell. Let's see. There's Mitch from Modern Family.
It's more of an actor.
Roll the ball, Mitchell.
Right. So don't be like the nerdy kid in there.
I just have a quick question for you guys.
Oh, okay, Coach Fox.
What's up, Coach Fox?
Who are you talking about?
It's your new quarterback, Coach.
What?
You could learn a thing or two from these Blackhawks, Coach Fox. They know how to win.
What happened to that Jay Cutler guy?
He's he's a broadcaster now. He's a professional broadcaster.
To the Bears, the first game.
Yeah, first game of the year.
Is he wearing pants?
Well, he's doing the third.
Which is against the Titans, which is where he lives now down in Nashville. So there's a tie there. So he's got,
Wait, he's doing a preseason game.
Yeah, that's game three in the preseason. And then week one at Soldier Field, Jay Cutler will be broadcasting a game. His former teammates all on the field at Soldier Field.
That's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's great what Fox is doing. It's must-see TV just to hear what Cutler has to say.
He just doesn't seem like he has much to say ever.
Yeah. I think it's either going to be really dull, like he's just Cutler being Cutler, or he sheds some light on the game that you wouldn't expect, maybe says a thing or two about
Those
a teammate.
Those who can't
that,
do, teach.
I guess.
Imagine, though, him saying, boy, you know, you just can't force it into the secondary there.
Right.
You just got to take the
shot. When
you can't make those mistakes.
Or imagine him shaking his head when there's an interception.
Right. You see, boy, when there's three defensive backs around your receiver, you don't want to throw that football there.
I don't care for
there.
Trubisky's body language on the sideline.
Right.
Look at him. He's apart from his teammates.
He's got to toughen up. Get out there, Trubisky.
I call him smoking Mitch Trubisky.
I want him to lean out of the booth and scream at a guy, get up!
Get up!
third quarter of the game, like in the booth, he'll put a poncho.
That
on
would be good.
Ignore his partner.
If he mocked Chicago Bears fans while that broadcast booth.
Oh, that would go over well.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
you know, he should just delete his social media accounts before he does that.
Oh, I think he's just going to get trolled no matter what he does. Oh, and yeah, you know that Fox is not going to let him do that. I mean,
no.
He, you know, he wants. This is his opportunity to have a job.
He's a smart guy. He knows
yeah
the game. But
we think so.
You know, people are going to be like tweeting that picture of him naked and like
right
and photo and put, you know, superimposing it into the booth. Like, wow, look at the colors wearing for his first game at Soldier Field.
You know, his teammates have always said, though, there's a different side of Jay we don't see. Maybe this is a chance we do get to see a different
Jay
Cutler.
Maybe. Sure.
Well, I guess we did see the other side in that Instagram post.
Exactly.
But, like, a different side of Jay
Cutler.
Yeah,
not that side.
See,
that side we saw, too.
The side that we saw as fans, other than his keister, the side that we saw as fans was, you know, him on the field, seeming disinterested. And then I think probably even more so, more shocking, was the sense that when he was in the post-game interviews, you know, like he'd sit there at the desk, like we're sitting right here
right
now, and he'd sit there and he'd just kind of look down into the microphone.
Right. Yeah,
and sort of
pouty.
Like, yeah, pouty, like, yeah. Yeah, some things went better than others in the game.
It never seemed to have the full heart in it, you know.
All
he just wanted to see that.
You know, all
didn't carry himself so well.
All the great sports phases through the years, like, you know, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. And, of course, Cutler's was, don't care.
Right.
It's like, how much am I getting paid this year?
It's true.
I see that Steve Cochran and Dave Bennett have worked their way back down.
Go Cats!
Yay! Nice job, guys.
Good job, guys.
Made us proud.
That was kind of hard work up there because
it really was.
You got to. That's a very visual event, and you got to be able to translate it.
You can't be a fanboy.
Dave's wiping the sweat off his
his
brow.
Today's the day you. This is about the only day you can approach fanboydom, though.
It was interesting, because that was like it was a professional broadcast, and then we came back on.
It was like, wait a minute, is this the same station?
I feel like I should get my headset to. My former boss and my current boss and, Steve? Okay, Steve,
okay,
if you want
to. Okay, someone can have mine, too.
Dave? Okay.
Steve, come on up here.
Yeah, we
come
need
on,
you up here.
Come
yeah
on up here, Steve. Ah, Steve. Steve never appears on this show.
That's in his contract.
He's like, just
no
please
accidents
don't let me near that show.
He is too proud, really, to
I couldn't help but notice that Kevin really wasn't moving.
I was keeping the seat warm for you.
Kevin really gets to the main floor, right? So Ro usually has him upstairs.
Wait, I have to go? What? Me? Oh, I'll
Dave,
stay.
Come on up. We'll kick Kevin out.
Oh, yeah, Dave, you can take my spot any
on
day
up
of the
this
week.
Better,
of
yeah
course. So, here, Ro. This is even better. Kevin's gone. There you go. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah. Let's talk about the let's talk about what we just heard up there or saw, what you saw up there, and a lot of enthusiasm for this team. I mean, the most amazing thing, and I've noticed this. I mean, this is the third season I've come to this with WGN, and you know the listen, 2015, that was a pretty good one, right?
Sure
because
was.
The Stanley Cup was sitting right in front of us,
yeah,
along with all those other cups, the Tubby Schmaltz Award and all the rest of them.
But Sippy Cups, they had all of them.
So, but it seems like the crowd is just as large and just as enthusiastic as they were then.
Yeah, Dave and I were talking about that, and I don't know what it sounded like on the air, but in the room, and I was thinking of you, Anna, Sharpie blew the roof off.
Oh, no question. I mean, come on. Is there a woman who could control herself with Patrick Sharp coming back? I mean, my gosh.
And Brandon Saad, and I don't know if you guys remember Brandon Saad when he first came up. He wouldn't look you in the eye. He was really shy, kind of withdrawn. Now he's up there and he's doing. Remember the Arsenio Hall thing? He's trying to get the audience to bark.
Yeah, he's on the catwalk and he's doing this. Like,
get the applause going.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's not our little Brandon Saad
no
anymore.
No, he's not.
Well, he was down here before he went up there with Jonathan Taves, Captain Oh My Captain.
I'm not familiar with his work.
I'm not either. So here's the thing that was very interesting to me was he, you know, he's coming back as sort of a wily veteran now.
Mm-hmm.
He's 23 years old.
Isn't that a great
right? And he's coming back, you know, to this hero's welcome. And he does seem to be enjoying this because, you know, they are building it. Dave, I'd love to, you know, get your thought on this. This, they do have to put this championship sort of flavor back into the team here, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think bringing these guys back does that. I mean, they've got, there's some equity there with guys like Sharp. And we talked on the air this morning about this, that having these guys, I think we talked to Kane about it a little bit,
right,
having guys who played together before, we've talked to Q the last couple of years a lot about chemistry because you're throwing all these new guys into the mix. They got to learn to play together. But here are a couple guys who have played with the guys they're playing with now, potentially playing on the same line with some of the guys they've played with before. Now,
you got to balance that out by acknowledging that there are some guys who've been on this team who won't be there this year. But I do think that you get some of that with it. You do get a little bit of a lift from having guys who've been
nice
through
this. Nice when you can buy old chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like getting back with the ex.
Well,
you know,
it was interesting.
Well, can that sometimes works.
We're having sex with our ex. Is that what you're saying right now?
God. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the thing. Kaner this morning. Was it this morning or yesterday? I forget when we're
really, this morning.
Kaner talked about playing on the same line as Panarin, and I asked the hard-hitting questions I've come to be known for. And I said, you know, tough, right? Tough when Panarin left. He said, yeah, it was really tough, but, you know, you used to be. And by the way, Panarin is older than Saad. I'm
yes.
sure you guys have talked
yes.
about that.
Yes, I think that's it.
Baby-faced Panarin, who is now not our Panarin. Now he's a dirty commie.
Yeah. Don't like him at all.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe he is actually part of the Comey investigation now turned into the Mueller investigation.
He's in the room with Trump Jr.
He's good.
Is that when they settled on the trade?
Yeah. That is how they actually. It was actually Don Jr. who did the trade. Hey, but you know the same thing was said by John the Tapes. So he wanted, you know, it was tough to swallow. No, it was tough to swallow the fact that there was a trade. You know, they lost these guys, but then, you know, getting Sauter back was very, very important.
They look happy together.
Very quickly, you guys are all astonished that Brandon Saad has, like, got this, turned over this new leaf, and he's so excited. But let's put it this way. Put it in TV terms. He was in Game of Thrones for years. And then he had to go on Two Broke Girls for a while. And now he's back on Game of Thrones. Of course he's excited to be back.
Fair point.
That's a good one. Leaving behind the blue jacket.
It's a fair point from the entertainment legend.
Okay. Wasn't it something about a Bentley and a Prius? I heard something about that.
Yep. I got a million up there. Yeah. Okay.
None of these make a ton of sense. But we'll find out more about them coming up in the 6 o'clock hour because we've got... With Stan McCann. Stan Bowman is going to be here and Jay Blunk.
Hey, can I give my boy Kevin a quick piece of credit?
Yeah.
A month ago, he was talking about the Cubs-White Sox trade on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he nailed it. The rest of the baseball world mocked him. Baseball guru.
Ross. Nice job, Kevin.
Got a 12 on his ACT.
Somehow
when it comes to sports, look out.
Coming your way in 3 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzas here live for the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. And look who has just stepped up to our stage here at the convention. We're in Salon A. That would be the
sounds so formal.
It does. It sounds also Salon. Like it's like the very beginning of all this. And there's a lot of interactive stuff. And Jay Blunk, who is the senior vice president of our beloved Chicago Blackhawks, mm-hmm. and in charge of basically everything that you see here that doesn't have to do with getting a guy on the ice. Right? Is that about the best way of looking at that?
That's an interesting way of looking at it. But well, listen, welcome. And thank you very much for being here. You guys, and we're just saying this, you lead into our games, and your numbers are superb. The show is great. So
thank you.
We're lucky to have you guys as great partners. And I just saw Steve Cochran, same thing. You know, there's a real integrated feel between WGN Radio and the Blackhawks. So thank you for everything you're doing.
I feel pretty lucky too, Jay. So
thank you for saying that. We're very, very happy and proud to be here. And after many years struggling to try to get here, I finally made it. All right. let us talk about the convention here, first of all. As people are going to be heading here tomorrow, you know, the first day is, you know, I'm always amazed at how huge the lines are and the people just signing in. I mean, this hotel is rocking.
Right. Just walking up Michigan Avenue, you see the sea of red jerseys. It's incredible.
What's an amazing thing, you know, Ro, and it's an interesting point because this doesn't go on in a lot of other places. I wish it did. But our fans are the ones that make this special. And it's interesting because when you walk around and get a chance to talk to the fans themselves, you know, they realize how special this group is. And our players realize it too. You saw the guys, they come in. We can't pay them to come in. This is all volunteer, and they feel an obligation to be here. But if you watch Patrick Kane and you watch Jonathan Toews, they love it. They've been here. But watch the new guys' faces. And Patrick Sharp would be the first one to tell you, when you get back to Chicago, this is different than anywhere else in the National Hockey League because of our fans.
I think Brandon Saad was overwhelmed.
He was.
Quite honestly.
It was so cool to see.
Yeah.
It's emotional. Yeah.
When you go away, especially to a smaller market like Columbus is, and then you you come back to Chicago, it's got that feeling. And again, you point out something. It's an important thing that you're pointing out. There are not a lot of conventions like this in the NHL.
right? And you and I always forget his name, the guy who's the president of the team, but
Irish name.
The Irish guy. Yeah. you guys obviously came over from the Cubs organization, where you guys invented the Cubs convention. Right?
Well, you know, it's interesting. John and I were talking about it today, and this is how old I am. But when I was 22 years old, this was all John's idea, top to bottom. And when he invented this in his kitchen in Elk Grove back in 1980 something, and we thought, well, we're going to fly baseball players in the middle of winter, right? And we're going to get a big crowd, and it didn't sound like it would make any sense, right? And here we are, 30 something years later. It's really the hallmark to your off season marketing. And I give him a lot of credit but it doesn't work if the players don't buy in. And that's what makes us different, you know. And it's interesting because we always hear hockey players are different professional athletes, and they really are. They are fantastic. You know, they love to media train. They do. They want to get better. They're polite. They're excited to be here. They will tell you to a man that they get energy from the fans, and it has something to do with the winning, and they believe in that.
There's no question about it. But I think what is so fascinating to me is, you know, like a baseball convention in the middle of winter is kind of an easier sell, right, because it makes you think of summer. A hockey convention in the middle of summer, you know, do you want to think about winter? It just tells you something about the fact that these are sellouts, the crowds are engaged. It tells you something about the passion that hockey fans have.
Yeah.
That is very, very unique in American sports.
Well, there's a connection to Chicago with this particular team. I think, you know, Chicago's known for its work ethic, right? It's a Midwestern city, and it's tough. And I think they identify with the work ethic, no frills, just go to work with the lunch pail. And that's kind of the spirit of our team. They work really hard. These guys train extremely hard. And so it doesn't always work out the way we wanted to, like the playoffs this year, but the guys all step up and say we're going to be better next year. So it's there's a certain connection. You know, we're fortunate enough to lead the National Hockey League in internet traffic, and we're ahead of the second place team, something like 30 or 40%. That's because our players allow us to be engaged, mm-hmm. allow us access, and so that's, you know, a long time ago, and it's, I give John and Rocky credit because they're the ones that said, look, we need access. We need access. If this is going to be different, if we're going to compete in a place that Michael Jordan's from, and we got a great partner in the Chicago Bulls, what a great worldwide franchise, the Bears, two baseball teams in this market, including Wrigley Field and a world championship. So it's a competitive marketplace. We have to do something different, and that is our players are more try to be as accessible as they can.
And it all starts. It starts and ends. I hate to say this because this is a businessy kind of thing to say, and it doesn't inspire the hearts of fans. But really, great organizations, whether it's in hockey or any other professional sport, starts in the front office. Because if you don't have the front office working right, then the team's not going to work right. And that's absolutely the truth. And as many great, and there were some great Chicago Blackhawks teams. Some great players came through this city in the 80s and the 90s, right? I mean, you have Hall of Famers. That whether it's Chris Chelios, people who never were able to get to that championship level with this organization, in part because there wasn't that one sort of missing chemical thing that was going on, and the connection even in some of the greater teams of the 1990s, which remember they went to the Stanley Cup right in the 1990s. But they just didn't have the kind of fan connection, I think in part because of the way that the media end of the business was being managed at that point.
Well, you bring up a good point. with the explosion of social media, I would say you can point at the Chicago Blackhawks and say it may have benefited this particular professional sports franchise more than any other in that period, because we really had a lot of ground to make up. But social media really plugged in well with this team. Young, hip, fun sport, and again, really accessible.
Yes.
And congrats on the NHL draft. That was such an experience. I mean, we loved being out there. It was such a new thing, and I know other teams were looking at what you guys did and looking at that as sort of the model for the way these things can be.
Well, thank you, Anna. I think, again, it made our fans turned out. I think we might have been the first team to sell out both days. But we are very privileged. Gary Bettman has been, and the NHL has been terrific to the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
We're You know, we have a number of opportunities to play outdoors. There's a chance to, you know, that cross-pollination on those holidays where you're playing outdoors somewhere, Wrigley Field or Soldier Field or wherever it's at.
Would you like to make an announcement right now?
not just yet.
Right here, right now? Like on the show, sort of, right now?
You know what? You tell us now, and who, between us. Just between us. Who would we tell?
Well, we have been, the league has been superb to us, and so we've been lucky. So, really, you know, this goes back to Rocky Wirtz and people believe in him and John McDonough and our connection to our fan base. And it's so much fun. I know you guys play a huge role in this. You know, we get a chance to interact with the fans this weekend, and we learn a lot. We do a lot of listening.
It's an interesting thing to see how also – Hawks fans, I think, like, you know, all great sports fans, they know who the people are in the front office, and they stop and they want to, you know,
it is interesting.
Get to know. I mean, it is an interest, especially the way that I'll never forget. I mean, it's, you know, when Rocky took over the team in, was it 06, I think, right? 06, 07, that, you know, he stood out in the concourse. I mean, he used to come to those games and stand out in the concourse. There was nobody in the concourse.
Right.
There were You could say something and you'd hear it come back 15 seconds later through your back ear if you screamed it down the concourse.
He sits with the fans. You see him there.
He
does.
He sits with the fans. He would stand in the concourse and take their suggestions.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
And it was, and you know, and I think Tom Ricketts does the same thing too. I mean, you can tell the difference in ownership.
Yep.
I have a couple other franchises I'd like to suggest that to, but I can't do it right now. I've run out of time. We're broadcasting live.
Yes.
He just said to me from the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention, the Hilton Chicago, brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. Jay Blunk, Senior Vice President of Chicago Blackhawks, is with us, and now look who just stepped up, the General Manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, with Stan We Can. Stan Bowman is here, ladies
Bowman.
And gentlemen. Who is he's looking tan and fit and relaxed, which
is
that's really
a good sign.
I do not understand
that.
Because it's been kind of a stressful off season, has it not?
For you, Ro.
Yes, it has for me.
Stan's got it covered.
You've been working hard though, right?
Good to see you, Ro. I have been working hard. It's been a long stretch for us here, but. We're excited to be here at the convention with some of our new players on hand and some familiar faces coming back. So it's been fun so far.
Now you said at the end of the season, right at the end of the playoffs for the Blackhawks, that, you know, this was a, as we all know, it was a disappointing playoff experience, and you were going to make some changes, and you did. Now bringing this core back, I mean, that's an interesting thing. It's a fascinating moment. I don't think as Blackhawks fans we could have wished for more than
that's
what
exciting.
You did. I mean, it is something.
Fans,
I mean,
love it.
It does. It sucks. We had Jonathan Toews on a little bit earlier, and he was like, well, you know, when you say goodbye to guys like Artemi Panarin, you know, and,
sure.
and some of the other, you know, great players who are on the team, those are their, mm-hmm. you know, their teammates and their brothers. But you're bringing back two brothers that, you know, were very instrumental in the success.
Right. Well, you know, it's tough to make decisions like that when you have to get rid of players that you really are fond of and guys you've had a lot of success with. But you know, we had to try to change some things, and, you know, we brought some new faces in. Some of them were familiar faces, guys that were here before, and we brought some new guys in that people don't know as well. But I think, you know, we did it with the intention of getting better and trying to have a different result next year. You know, when you don't meet your goals, you have to try to change things up a little bit, and hopefully we didn't make dramatic changes. We made a few changes here and there, but we have a lot of guys here that were part of it for a long time. You know, I think the foundation of our team is still the same. And hopefully with a few new faces, we can have better results next year.
Wow. All right. Well, I have a sense of this now, because I get this sense. Brandon Saad, obviously, in your as you were thinking about team chemistry, and you're also thinking about just performance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there's data metrics that you guys look at in situations like this. And when you see – you know, Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad on the same line together, that's a big difference than, you know, as great, and, you know, I don't want to take anything away from some of the other players here, but is those numbers exist, right?
Yeah, well, obviously when Brandon came into the league, he really took that spot right away as a first-year player with Jonathan, and I think they found that chemistry right away. We had a ton of success with those two guys together, so there's no question that those guys have some chemistry. I think Brandon is built on his success here. The last 2 years when he was in Columbus, he's really emerged as one of the premier two-way players in the game. You know, I think, you know, not just an offensive force, but you know, he really does play both sides of the rink, and he's a guy that you can count on to play offensively, defensively. Right. When he doesn't have the puck, he does the right thing. He kills penalties. He plays power play. So he's that guy that can do a little bit of everything. So obviously the coaches lean on guys like that. And we know the chemistry's there with Jonathan from the past. And I think, if anything, Brandon's really expanded his game the last couple of years. So I think as good as he was from 2 years ago, you know, he's really built on that. So I think, you know, we're getting a pretty special player in Brandon Saad.
No question about it. And young, 23 years old. It's hard to believe. He's a Wiley veteran on the team now. Returning to Chicago as a hero, as a conquering hero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was the player reaction like when you announced Sharp and Saad were coming back? We know fans were excited to see them. They're such popular players. We know how they can play. But the players had to be...
Oh, equally excited. Yeah, very much so. Obviously, they're two really popular guys. I think, you know, Sharpie was here for a long time. So certainly for the guys that were here all the way back in 2010, they remember everything he did. And, you know, Brandon came in a couple years later, but he was a very popular player. So amongst the guys, I think it's good to have some familiar faces back, guys you had success with, you won some Stanley Cups with. So, you know, when you go through those battles together, I think, you know, you form those long-lasting friendships. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement having them come back for sure.
That's cool.
A lot of buzz this week about Alex DeBrincat, a 19-year-old winger you guys drafted last year. Had a good prospects camp this week. What did you see from him? And for fans that haven't seen him play much, what can they anticipate seeing from the 19-year-old winger?
Hey, Alex is a really fun player to watch. He's obviously a smaller guy, 5'7", so you might not think as much of him. But before you know it, he's got that puck, and he's got it on the net and in the net. Like he set records last year scoring goals. He's a prolific goal scorer. For a little guy, he's got a lot of feistiness in him. He's certainly not timid, and I think that's something that is going to endear him to our fans. He likes to get to the net, scores a lot of his goals from around the net. He's got an incredible shot, quick release. He's one of those guys that his biggest skill is something that you sort of have to watch him closely. He just always gets in the right spot, and you wonder, how does he score all these goals? Well, you know, does he get good breaks? Well, when you score that many goals, 65 goals in 63 games, it's more than just good luck. You know, I think he's got that instinct to find where the puck is going to go, and he finds himself open a lot. And he has got the quick release. So we're really excited about what he brings to the table. I think you can't find many guys that have that pure goal-scoring ability like Alex. So, you know, we want to see how he does in training camp, and we're trying not to put too many expectations on it. We know he's going to help us at some point, whether he starts the year with us or not. You know, we'll see how that goes in the exhibition season. But I think in the years to come, Alex is going to be a guy that you're going to love watching.
And a little hiccup with Tommy Wingles, broken foot.
Yep.
Expected back for training camp, though?
Yeah, he will. He'll be here tomorrow, actually, for the convention, so we'll get to talk to him tomorrow. It was just one of those things. He was training hard, and sometimes, you know, minor things like that happen, but it's nothing that's going to stop him from being ready for the start of camp. So, you know, it should be all systems go with him.
All right, cool.
Nice. Oh, sorry.
Well,
Jay,
that's all right.
Before
we go, the reason Stan was a couple minutes late is he was putting the finishing touches on some gifts that he and I have been working on for you guys. So I think it's
nice.
A good time to bring these up.
No.
I know this isn't a great play for radio, but they're being presented something. And
you
guys were nice enough to give Stan a couple T-shirts last year, so we felt
we had to return the favor.
We had to return the favor. Yeah, an obligation.
I love that shirt. By the way,
I love presents.
I get
no.
You guys are.
I'm my own jersey. I finally got my own jersey.
I mean, look at that.
Oh my God,
it's our personalized. First, thank you guys.
Podramatic fits on the back of a jersey.
Spelled it right.
So does Devlantis. It turns out.
Trust me, spelling. These are the best spellers in all of sports. The NHL.
They don't get it wrong.
They have to figure a lot of stuff out.
Oh my God, they're adorable.
Thank you.
These were hand stitched by Stan Bowman. All these.
Oh,
so just, you can thank
we would expect
this,
no less.
This is awesome.
Is that the first time you heard a Blackhawks sweater be described as adorable as Violetta just described?
No, a lot of young fans here.
All right, well, gentlemen, again, congratulations on an amazing convention. Start to the convention already. I mean, just as much energy and people in the room here. And the one thing about Stan Bowman over the years as we've gotten to know each other, he's a very calm man. He sort of has like one
kind of, at least publicly, he's got sort of one speed. But then when I saw him at that press conference and I saw those glaring eyes, you know, come through the camera in that press conference, I thought, don't mess with Stan.
No.
Which is, I think, the T-shirt that we're going to give you somewhere mid-season, I think, is something somewhere around there. We got that for you. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Thank you, guys.
And
thanks really for everything you do for us.
Thank you for having us out here. Because these things are just popping up. As you heard Tom Skilling say, it's buoyant out there.
I like when he says that, because he's described that to us before.
How is it downtown? Are we going to get soaked when we leave the hotel?
Well,
about 20,
it was already
minutes?
Bad,
okay.
I am told. We are in, as I have mentioned many a time here, we're in Salon A, which is the most important salon of all the salons.
A is in alpha.
Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet.
The first salon.
The first, right.
You make it sound like a nail salon. The premier salon.
It is the most important salon. Mm-hmm. But down here, and this is kind of a funny deal, because they've got all kinds of interactive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a Zamboni.
And a Zamboni, which, by the way, we should probably tell that story.
That one, not so interactive.
Not here for 5 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. Not 5 minutes, and Violetta's running around, jumps on the Zamboni. Security immediately over to the Boni, as he called it. He said, off the Boni!
Yeah, that's like next that. If she goes back, probably.
I was like, I wasn't on it. He's like, I have a picture of you on it.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, okay. I got some, too, though. They're on Twitter.
Does it have signs on it that says, do not sit on it? Do not.
I don't know.
It actually doesn't. It kind of looks like it's a good photo op thing.
It's very inviting. Plus, it's been a dream of mine to get on a Zamboni.
Yeah, that was your moment. That was your moment. And then you got booted out.
There's guys named Jimmy Zamboni right now. I just can't imagine what their life would be like. It's not right. It says it's not just a sign. It's the biggest sign I have ever seen.
Oh, I see it now.
What does it say?
Oh, does it say?
Take a picture.
Yes.
Hop on if you want.
Take photos with, but do not get on the Zamboni.
She was climbing it like a jungle gym. Taking selfies, taking photos.
Oh, my gosh. Can't take the kids anywhere.
All right, so there are some other interactive things that are, I suppose, more interactive than the Zamboni,
mm-hmm.
Which is there's like a roller hockey thing going on.
Yeah. I still got to go over there and show those kids up. I think they're big-timers, those 8-year-olds. I'll show them how to play floor hockey.
Come here, kid. He's actually, like, cross-checking the kids in there. Come here. Right.
Got to toughen them up. Only a couple months till the season starts.
There's the air hockey, but instead of air coming
out, really
it's
cool.
Ice.
Oh, that's
Did you
great.
See that? Instead of an air hockey table, it's a big block of ice, and you can play air hockey, but it's ice hockey.
You can shave a little off for a martini, too, if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Something for the shaker.
A little margarita.
What? Now, explain to me, though, is it like an air hockey, like the
it's
same
the air hockey
equipment?
Size.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's made out of ice instead of air.
And they have a guy there that's doing, like, the air hockey equivalent of a Zamboni. He's, like, resurfacing the ice on the thing. He's got, like, this little carver, and he's shaving it. Cleaning up all the excess ice shavings.
Maybe that's where Violetta could start.
Maybe they'll let you do that.
Suddenly.
That would be a start.
Go big
work
or
your
go
way
home,
You
bro.
Did run into your skate, the skate girl friends, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes. And then I ran
ice
into
girls?
My ice girl friends.
Ice girls, yes.
They walked by faster than I was trying to keep up, but, you know, I said hi.
Oh, okay.
So Violetta's other dream, even though she talks to a million people a week and misinforms them about the traffic, her other dream is to someday either be a Zamboni driver or to be an ice girl.
Yes.
And now last...
I'll take whichever comes first.
Now, last season, when we during the playoffs, we brought you out here, and you like tried to break yourself into the ice girl... like sorority,
yeah,
and that did not go
it
well.
Didn't,
it's a close knit group, and even like that's funny you mentioned that because today, yeah, they were moving along pretty quickly.
Yeah.
While the
they're
coach
like,
was very nice to you, and you're like, "Hi, girls," and like, "Get away from us."
That's that girl.
Don't let her
She's
in.
To talk to us at the United.
The traffic girl.
Is it kind of a mean
She's
girl thing
us.
That goes on there?
No, they look very nice, but maybe I'm just I'm not ready for them. You know, they want me to work my way up to the ice girl
Prove
status.
Yourself.
Yes.
They've got to haze
they
you a little
me,
bit.
Yeah,
like
I gotta keep trying.
Sorority.
At least that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna keep trying, and I'm not gonna take no as an
now,
answer.
Here's
okay. See how that goes.
Yeah, it always ends well. It doesn't matter. Let me ask you this: do you know how to ice skate?
Yes, I know how to. I was
you're
a figure
skater.
Skater,
right?
Yeah.
Oh
you're,
my gosh! So you're cut out for this.
I'm totally
you could
ready
really
for
do
this.
This.
She was a figure skater, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's. This explains
you don't make that
everything.
Up.
No, it was, you know, but then it just started getting a little bit, I got too advanced, you know. McFredericks.
How old were you when you started?
I was like six when I started, and then I did it until I was like 12.
You had a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run. 12, 13.
I think she could do this, Ro. We got to see if we can arrange this.
I think I could be a nice girl, yeah.
You could handle this?
I could handle
it. Have you seen what they do? Because it's not, you have to have a big shovel.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for the shovel?
I think I could also be the girl that just holds the pile of ice.
Like
you know,
they come to
the girl who has like a bucket.
But
and then
those girls, that they're not out there. Like
yeah,
the crowd
I get
doesn't
out there.
See them.
I feel like I might get distracted too. Like they're gonna be like, "Hey, you didn't clean up this," and I'll be like, "Da da da."
Yeah, like performing for all the
waving
yeah.
to everybody behind the glass.
Although I do Hi. Notice that some of the ass girls have a particular interest in the people who have the glass seats,
mm-hmm.
and especially the guys with the glass seats who have the Rolexes on. I've noticed that there seems to be
those shine
little interaction.
You see a little interaction.
Like there's a lot of waving.
Hi, Violetta. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
I think that's how that
Throw
goes.
Your Rolexes instead of flowers, whatever.
I do find, because you're going to have to learn how to, like, shovel the sides.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Okay.
Because you're going to, something bad's going to happen to the shovel. I can just tell. It's going to be an incident.
Well, if someone, you know, it could get dangerous out there.
Well, she doesn't have to last long as an ice girl, but just to get out there on, you know, the ice and
yeah.
do it for once. You
yeah,
know?
Just
it's
once,
sort of like
once.
Experience
once
it.
Once or twice.
What it's like. We got to work on this.
Yeah. So,
can you guys help me? Because the girls
no.
don't like me that much.
Yeah, no.
That's not a good start.
I think there might be a reason for it. Now, I want to know this, though.
What?
If you went out and did this,
mm-hmm.
we'd have to see how you have to try out, right?
I think so, yeah.
And you have to also fill out an application, right?
Do they do a background check?
Yes. That you cannot
credit
have,
check?
They can.
credit check.
How many aliases do you have?
Do you have to be an American citizen and be a nice girl?
Birth certificate?
You probably do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably have to be an American citizen.
Okay.
You probably have to. You have to have no police record whatsoever. Also.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Norwich has some sort of thing against me, just for a little
Norwich.
Bit.
Uh oh.
The town of Norwich.
Please don't tell us. Don't put that.
I
out
avoid
there.
Driving on Harlem. If at all possible.
So you had a little incident in Norwich, is what you're saying.
I think it's been cleared up. What's like the jurisdiction? How long does that take?
You mean what is
the jurisdiction? She's just throwing out legal terms.
Your Honor, I apologize.
That was a big word.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know if this is
going to go
well.
Do they do an IQ test to what be a
you,
nice girl?
What did you do?
No, nothing. It was just a little speeding thing.
That was a little speeding.
180 in a 35.
What? I can't speed here. I'm in a hurry.
And it's not even clear she was in the car. She was actually driving the car, but taken into custody anyway.
Well, you learn from your mistakes, so.
Okay.
I think Violetta should go to Johnny's Ice House and do a tryout video of being an ice girl,
yes.
and then kind of shop that out there and put it out there in the universe and see what happens.
I think this is it.
Okay.
I think a summer-long promotion, you, the Violetta experience becoming a skate girl or what the ice girl?
Ice girl, come on, give us a little respect.
Violetta becomes an ice girl.
Yes.
2017.
Yeah, try to get it trending and get people to follow you and support you, and then we'll see if the Hawks pick up on it.
I do love the idea. Right, without any support
no.
from us whatsoever.
No
We're
favors
you
called
out.
In.
Right,
come
no,
on, can
no.
you guys just make a little call?
No, 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 mommy and daddy helping you out here. If you want this,
you're
gonna do
it
on
your
own. You have to make a fool of yourself on the internet.
It's difficult.
Got to show some initiative.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
Yeah,
got a lot of potential, Violetta.
And I could just see Violetta on the skates too, which it will in skates. Violetta is 4'6", so this is really good.
Would they
be
able
something.
To see her above the boards? I mean, that might be a problem.
I have noticed this though, but the one thing about the ice girls, they got the leggings, you
the
know,
tights
things,
or that, leg warmers.
The leg warmers going, and they're lovely, they're very professional. And then you got the guys with the big like windbreakers on and back mm-hmm. of them with the ill-fitting hats.
Do you want to do that?
No.
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 Okay.
No, I have not skated since I was like,
you and Kevin.
13.
You and Kevin could get out there and.
We'll wait for you at the tunnel. After
Can you guys
it's all
be
over.
Like my prep group before we go out?
No.
You know?
No. You got to do it on your own.
No. This
Whole
is all,
thing.
This is all
yours. You.
This is all on you. This is
okay.
on you.
You.
This is you. This is not us. This is you.
You said it.
You said it. We didn't say it.
You said you wanted to be an ice girl.
I did, and I will
you
follow through
it
on
up.
It. I'm okay. going to do whatever it takes to become
okay.
an ice girl.
First things first, make friends with the current ice girls.
But that's hard, so we'll
sidestep
that.
Don't cross the ice girls.
I mean, it's kind of a funny thing because they kind of have this look on their face when they see you. It's, come on, play with me.
Is that the girl who always attacks us at the United Center?
Stay away from her. Like if this at the Hawks lunchroom, you're not allowed to sit at their table.
Yeah, definitely not.
You'd be eating alone, peanut butter and jelly, while all the girls are gossiping.
What are you guys doing after this?
Guess we'll go out.
We can shovel some snow outside together.
How are you? By the way, let me ask you a question. Have you ever shoveled snow in your life?
See, that's the thing. Snow seems more difficult, though, than ice.
Yeah, it's going to be heavier, so you're good there.
Yeah, I think I'll be okay.
I'm surprised your parents have a restaurant.
That is not the question that
I shovel a small area.
In front of your parents' restaurant to help them with their business so people can actually get in? Have you ever shoveled snow?
No, I throw the salt on after. I do it, but then, like, you know, you do, like, a foot, and you're like, God, there's, like, 30 more feet. What's the point?
See, I don't know if this ice girl thing's going to work out.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's just too much space to cover. So I just do the little, like, you know, floor mat in front of the house, and then...
I just imagine also there's going to be a problem underneath there when the Zamboni guy pulls back in, and she's, like, trying to chat him up.
To hop on.
Because she wants to get in the, like a guy with a cool car, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, hey, nice wheels.
Hey, I saw you took that other ice girl on a Zamboni ride.
Did you, are these wheels? What are these,
What's
actually?
What's up? Yeah.
What cylinder is this, bad boy?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't typically see the ice girls hop on the Zamboni, so that might be a problem, too.
She'd want to actually go down the Viagra Triangle in the Zamboni.
Yeah.
Go down in front of Gibson's and Tavern.
Just park it out front.
Park it out front. Park the Zamboni out front. Go and have a cocktail. You're paying, though.
It's my Zamboni.
How much does a Zamboni operator make?
What's this thing take? Yeah. Gas or diesel?
Yeah. Is everybody having a good time?
What does a Zamboni take?
I would like to. You know what? Is a Zamboni electric? Because it's got to have a little. Because it can't have a bunch of exhaust.
That's true. You wouldn't want it indoors.
Just plug that bad boy in.
Yeah. Is a Zamboni? That would be very. That's an interesting question.
Here we go.
If they plug it in. Yeah.
All right, Violette, I want you to go over to the Zamboni.
Yeah.
And I want you to start like opening everything that's around the Zamboni.
Get a good look at it.
See if it's like a gas like thing.
Right, and I'll be able to tell what a gas tank.
Don't encourage.
Like.
Guy's climbing it right now.
Somebody climbing it.
Get off the Zamboni, sir. That is unsafe.
See immediately. Yep, security guard.
Security's on it.
His shirt says security on it. Immediately kick the guy off.
He's still up there taking a picture, but yeah.
It was a good effort. He's taking his time to get off for sure.
Yeah, well, you want to.
Mom, get the picture before I go to get off.
Right.
All right. They are electric.
Okay.
Right now, the Hawks organization, who we have been lauding all day today, mm-hmm. as we have, for all good reason, is upstairs in their super suite going, can you pull them off the air right now?
Pull the plug.
Pull the plug on this show.
But if you're listening, I would like to become an ice girl for a day. That might be fun.
I'm telling you, make the video.
I'll lobby
make the video.
That.
See if you get some backing.
Okay, we should take it. Oh, you know what? When is the ice place here opening up? Because they have the new practice facility here.
Oh, that's supposed to open by the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I think we need to send her out to Johnny's Ice House.
Yeah, go out a little
sooner.
Yeah,
they're still at Johnny's right now.
All right. I'll go
make
out
the
there.
Video.
Now, the only time to get on Johnny's Ice, though, is at 4:15 in the morning. So
is that going to be okay? Because it's booked like 24/7.
So hockey rinks
work. For one little window.
It's open skate from 1 a.m. to 1:30.
Oh, okay.
We got to get you a big shovel. You got to get to the big, like, scraper shovel.
Yeah,
right?
You got to figure out a cute, like, Blackhawks outfit kind
right.
of thing.
And you got to do the skate. Do you still have skates?
Yeah. Okay. But they're brown. I feel like the Ice Girls have white.
You'd rather brown. They're brown. Oh, my God, that's so sad.
No, but I had white ones, but they weren't as sharp anymore, so I got brown ones. What's wrong with the brown
ones? Brown's fine. I think brown is fine. You just kind of.
Are they tan brown or dark brown?
Tan brown.
Oh, like the light. They're not brown. They're like
nude.
The tan.
They're
nude.
They're nude.
Yeah, nude.
Yeah,
nude.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I thought they were like the dark brown leather ones.
Oh, because you guys know so much about figure
from,
skating.
Like, the 40s.
What do you care what I'm wearing on my skate?
I babysat Nicole Bobek when she was a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Did they put ice skates on her when she was a baby?
Yes,
it
was very hard to change her diapers, I seem to recall.
I
let the other people handle that because it's good to get the skates. You can really get. And ice skating, figure skating, ice skates are very sharp. So
yes, that is true.
But it was my job. It was one of my jobs as a child. Who knew?
Who knew you were a babysitter?
I had to make it. It was easier than going out and doing real work.
okay.
And so that's what it was. But I do know about the figure skating world.
because
I mean,
of that.
I remember, and I covered the Tonya Harding story. I remember that.
Yep.
Don't give Violetta any ideas.
Yeah.
Taking out one of the ice girls. Wait, so what's this? They took out her leg? Wait, tell me
Wait,
more.
We're down an ice girl, so we need another one. Here's
right.
Violetta Pagliamenti.
Right.
All right, well, the, you know, the Hawks are calling now, and they're saying that this is pretty much the end of this
program. We had a
program.
Good run.
Yeah, we did have a good run. It was a lot of fun. Well, we want to thank the Chicago Blackhawks organization. We want to thank Meyer. Our presenting sponsor for having us out here and reminding you that they are now offering home delivery. It is free for you, so we
Great.
Like that.
Great, and the Ice Girls will send it to you.
Yes.
No, just kidding.
No. And we would like to not thank Violetta. We would like to thank Jonathan Taves, of course, the captain
yes.
for stopping by. And
Sodder.
And Sodder, Brandon Sod. And Mr. Blunk.
Jay Blunk.
And Mr. Bowman from the front office.
Mr. Yes. Wirtz.
And Mr. Wirtz. Who was also out here for us.
Yes.
And I would also like to say that I know that we've got the great Amy Guth coming up at the top of the hour here. Mm-hmm. We're going to say goodnight from the Chicago Blackhawks Convention, the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention. There are some passes available for tomorrow and Sunday. I think there are single-day passes. You can go to Blackhawks.com and figure that whole thing out right there. And it is, again, a great – if you're a hockey fan, this is a great place to be. It's Hockey Central right here. We'll see you back here on Monday on 720 WGN.